Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Okay, buckle up, because among the important things we're going to talk about tonight is Mega Lucario Raid
yep.
Day.
Now you know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
Can I start the show with a little bit of a harangue?
No.
Okay.
Wait a minute. It's your birthday weekend. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
So, as we were driving in tonight.
Oh, yes. Harangue away.
And this is not our typical turn on your lights harangue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you are driving, check, make sure your lights are turned
really?
On.
Really?
So, we pull up to one light.
Yeah.
And we're waiting. And we see somebody turning in front of us. And the person turning in front of us, on their lap, the driver, has a dog on their lap.
Yes. Dog's head's hanging out the window.
Yep.
And, of course, we can just imagine when that...
If, God forbid, there's an accident, airbag goes off.
You're eating that dog. I mean, it's in your face.
Okay.
And the dog is dead.
But that's not the worst of it.
Yeah.
Then, I'm not kidding, roughly mile later, at a stoplight, person turning in front of us, and the person turning in front of us, they have their driver's window down. So their arm is out the window.
And there was an odd thing, because in front of their arm, there was a small person's arm.
Facing theirs. So their child is on the driver's lap.
I couldn't believe...
What kind of an idiot are you?
And it was a toddler's arm. It was probably like a two, three-year-old. I blew my mind. You didn't see the third one.
There was another one?
Yes. We got
distracted
as we were getting on Lakeshore Drive. when people are in the passenger seat and they put their feet up on the dashboard,
oh, yeah,
and you've got an airbag,
yep,
your knees are going to be in your teeth when you get in that accident. Bob, you're shaking your head. Yes, you've seen it, and you're like, ah! Don't you realize your bare feet? Oh, I know, it feels cool to put your feet up there. But your knees will be in your teeth.
Now, hear me. The airbags are not the problem. You're the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Strong message to follow. It's a gorgeous night.
Honestly, if we were able to get that person's license number, I would contact DCFS.
Yeah. Yeah. I was sputtering. I said, if I could get out of the car, I would cross the intersection and say, get the child out of your damn lap. The kid will be dead if the airbag goes off. That's all there is to it. And arm hanging out the window. And I'm like, ah. Well, thank you for starting me on that note.
Yeah. Hi, Rod.
I hear a chortle.
Well, nobody can disagree with anything you said.
Thank you.
It's nice to actually to see two people so passionate about safety. So, it was
because we've seen from the early days of airbags, we've gone through the organization that we're members of, Midwest Automotive Media Association. We've seen demonstrations of how the body is ravaged if you're not properly restrained when an airbag opens up.
And again, the airbag really is not the problem. One of the other things. And we've had people riding with us, and they get a little upset with me when I say, I don't care if you're sitting in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting your seatbelt on, because we have seen demonstrations of what happens when the person in the back seat is not belted, and their head collides with the head of the person in the front seat who is belted.
Right. You got a neck break right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that happy note.
Okay.
Hi.
Good evening, everybody.
I want to talk to Ron because he had a wonderful, wonderful afternoon with his son this week.
I certainly did.
Your Facebook pictures were so cool. You want to explain to the class what this was?
Oh, yeah. I was on the Chicago River in the Thursday afternoon and in a kayak, and it's just a great experience. To be downtown Chicago, kayaking the Chicago River.
Don't you feel tiny when you look up at these big buildings and there you are?
If the one Bella or something pulls up next to you.
Well, that scares me because I took a picture and it's on our Facebook page tonight, a picture right out the window. There was so much boat traffic and there were a number of yachts zipping down the river. Yeah. What do you do when there's like a big wake and you're in a kayak?
It's not that bad. I don't see them really zipping around, at least while I was out there. Maybe I was fortunate. But you stay on the right side, you try to keep your wits about you. You keep looking around, what's coming, and you prepare for it. And everything was fine. It was very safe. There were never any kind of close calls. The boats all seemed to be obeying the rules of the road or the water, whatever it is, and everything was fine. It's just a pleasant 1 hour. Diversion, and I would recommend it to anybody. It was great.
But how do you do that? I assume you don't bring your kayak from home.
No.
So you rent it.
There's a company.
You rent it like anything else that they have along the Riverwalk, and did they give you any kind of instructions?
Yes, they did. Yeah, it's along the Riverwalk. I rented. There's three companies out there. I rented from Urban Kayaks because it was right close to, our parking garage here. So I went down there, and yeah, they do. They give you your life jackets, and they also give you a training video. And I've done it before, so I was used to what the how to work the paddle and how to stay safe and make it a fun experience.
And you had your flotation device on because that would be required.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Is it expensive?
It was $35 for an hour.
Really?
Yeah, $35 for
an hour. That's all for an hour?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I literally thought you were going to say $70, $75 for the hour.
No. So for both my son and I, it was just $70. And we had a great time. And you can get like a two-person kayak if you wanted, but we wanted individual ones. And It's just fantastic. I mean, you don't want to you don't want to go in the water, but there's really you'd have to do a lot wrong to go in the water. That's for sure. I mean, you just follow the rules and and have fun.
Well, that's a whole lot easier than my experience is canoeing the Fox River. And I was recently telling you about this, Steve. Mm-hmm. The problem with that was we'd have to drive to the place where we would end up, park our car, get in a truck that had the canoe, drive back to where we wanted to put in, and then canoe to our car. It was just so convoluted. And as I recall, it was rather expensive, too. And on the Fox River.
This was back in the 70s?
No, this was the 80s.
80s, okay.
And on the Fox River, you have to be concerned about dams.
Right.
You don't want to be goofy and get too close to a dam because you could be very dead, too. But, that seemed like a lot of work to just go over here to the Riverwalk and rent a kayak.
Right
and
there, yeah.
Step in and go.
As I told you, I didn't understand from your experience, why didn't you just rent the boat, go out, and then bring the boat back to where you started?
We wouldn't kayak. We wouldn't canoe up river. You're going... Right? Does that sound right? I don't know.
It's a little more difficult that way. Definitely downstream.
We don't want to fight the stream going back the other direction. I guess that's the best I can figure. But even though it was that many years ago, I remember it being kind of costly at that time and took up a whole lot of time, too. And frankly, I didn't like any of it. It was too scary for me just getting in the canoe because it moved. And I'm like, why is it moving? Can't we put it on the ground and get in? You push me into the water. And they go, no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, we haven't had wonderful
water experience.
Water experiences. Yes. And we've told the story of our dear friend Richard Crowe. But the one time that we got seriously mad at him was this haunted...
Friday the 13th.
Cruise that we were on, and the boat should not have gone out. The weather was really bad.
It was midnight. It was terrifying. And I was triggered by that horrible story. Ron, you've been reporting on it, the boat that capsized at 31st yesterday.
Right, yeah.
And the people reported that they felt the boat was listing. There was too much weight on one side. And I thought, oh, we didn't have that problem. We just had a problem with the weather turned, and we were way out there, and we couldn't even see the shoreline, and it was inky dark. And all of a sudden, water is coming in the boat with us because we were bobbing.
And it was bobbing enough that my hand
was
in the water. And Richard did it because he wanted to make the money from the cruise. And later we said, Richard, we're friends, but oh boy, was this wrong, and never again.
Well, I'd never been on a cruise where all you heard was prayers. It was like we'd gone to church because the whole boat was praying. We had there were probably about 7,500 people on the boat. I mean, it was a big upstairs and downstairs. And So anyway.
Well, to kind of wash that away, you go out on the kayaks. You'll have a lot of fun. You will enjoy it. There's no drama. It was just fun and sunshine, you know. And
I think we will vicariously live through
exactly.
Your
life. Exactly.
Really?
Yes. Yep. I'll enjoy your pictures from now on.
Oh, yeah. And you get to take some great pictures. So.
Yeah. In fact, there were excellent pictures of Ron and his son on the Chicago. Mm-hmm. And a beautiful day. Perfect day. Today was a great day, too. Tonight's going to be a wonderful night. We hope that you will stay with us because we've got a whole lot coming up right here on WGN.
Talking about the roses, baby. I keep a talking about it now. One time I said, I keep a talking about the roses, baby. I keep a talking about it now. Roses are red, my love.
How dare you?
Dealer's Choice tonight.
Yeah.
And happy birthday, Steve. Tell us a little bit about that, Julian, producer extraordinaire.
I'm trying to think of when I recorded that. That would have been in the early 60s. And we just wanted to do kind of a funky take on Roses Are Red.
Yeah. Well, it's the high note that tickles me.
Yeah, listening back to that, I wish I'd had a producer that said, don't do that, because the rest of it I thought was kind of funky and kind of fun.
Yeah.
But, okay, that's enough of me.
Yes, that was really Steve, a very young Steve. And that's your birthday present from Julian, right, Julian?
Why do we not hear Julian?
We're not hearing him.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Well, now that we have young Julian's attention, you said that we were talking off the air. You saw Deadpool and Wolverine. What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I really loved it for what it was. You know, some people might say, oh, it was terrible.
Well, there's always that group.
Yeah, there's always that group, and most of that group being my dad.
Well, then there's the Michael Phillips of the world.
They don't like superhero movies.
Yeah, Michael Phillips, Tribune movie critic, should never, ever, 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 ever go to see another superhero movie. That's just don't do it, Michael, because you don't like them, period. End of story. So get somebody else to do that.
Yeah, like Roy Leonard did.
Get Julian to do that.
Because Roy Leonard said, I'm never going to go see any more of these horror movies. They're just trash, and I cannot waste my time watching them. So you're right. Julian could be the go-to guy.
Yeah. But you were telling me that this was kind of a passion project.
Yes, I've been watching a lot of the interviews with Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, and they, the way they talk about it, like they've been really just pushing for this to happen for years. And if people might recall, Hugh Jackman announced he was retiring the Wolverine character.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first Deadpool came out, and he thought, shoot, I shouldn't have retired, because I really wanted to do a Deadpool Wolverine. And then they made it happen.
Yeah.
He came out of retirement just for that. And
I would watch it just for him.
Yeah, I want to see it. I'm really curious. Because
of Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, because of Hugh Jackman.
That's a great character.
And the fact that he came back to do this. Because he really had said, that's it, sorry, done, Wolverine, been there, done that.
Wolverine will always be my favorite, because thanks to Wolverine, we were a couple $1,000s richer. Because you had the comic book.
That's true.
With Wolverine's first appearance.
It was a Hulk, and I'm trying to think which one it was.
You didn't even know you had it.
But we had our friend Gary Colabono.
He went through all your comics, and he said, ching, ching, we got one here.
And literally, it was in perfect condition, because all of my comic books are bagged and boarded. I read them, and then I...
Bag them and board them.
And... The people who were grading said, okay, there must be something wrong here, because this should be a 10, but we can't give a 10. So they gave it a 9.9. And Gary had to vouch for me and say, there, nothing has been changed. This is the original deal.
There were no wrinkles, no bends.
And we were watching as it went for auction, and it went for many $1,000s.
Well, the funny thing was...
And it was the first appearance of Wolverine.
It was going to sit there for a while, but those snipers at the last few minutes, all of a sudden they jump in there and they start going for it. And that was so exciting, watching those numbers go up. It was crazy. So, yes, that will always be my favorite character, Wolverine.
But what... Okay, for somebody not into superhero movies, would they find it interesting because the actors? Or is it strictly, if you're a superhero fan, you're going to love it? If not, maybe not so much.
If you're into Hugh Jackman giving the performance of his career, you're going to be satisfied.
Wow.
I wouldn't say it's the best performance ever, but he sells it. He really gives it his all in his performance.
Okay.
Like he always does.
Yeah.
He's not singing or dancing, but he is acting.
Yeah, I've never seen him do anything that I didn't enjoy.
Agreed. Yeah.
What was the vampire thing he did?
Van Helsing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That was a cool movie.
That was Bob in the Peanut Gallery.
Yes.
The keeper of the big plug.
I throw one in once in a while.
That's right. All right. Coming up, we have tonight, it's car night, so Tom Appel will be joining us later on tonight. There's a lot to talk about with recalls again. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you heard Ron in the newscast earlier. He was talking about Pierogi Fest in Whiting.
Mm-hmm.
For the second year in a row, Ron, we are going to be talking with Mr. Pierogi.
Oh, wow. I'm looking forward to that, I'm telling you.
The one and only. And Chuck Mead, who's coming to space in Evanston next week.
Chuck Mead, who longtime listeners will remember, we first met Chuck when he was with BR549, a wonderful alternative country rock group. And then he went on to do things like he was the musical director for the Million Dollar Quartet.
Right.
an extraordinary, talented guy, and he's going to be at Space in Evanston, and he's going to join us tonight. And after the news, our grandson,
yep,
Joseph Gibson Crispin, will join us.
He's got things to say, folks.
Yep.
At least that's what he tells me as we prepped for tonight's appearance on the radio. So stay with us. Coming up after the news, we got a whole lot right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And in the studio with us, now we're going to do something a little different. Joseph, can you hear me? You can talk. You can talk.
I cannot hear you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I see what happened.
Sit tight.
Yep.
Some buttons have been pushed.
Somebody did a dumb thing. Wait a minute.
Somebody turned off your microphone, Joseph.
Bleep.
And it wasn't Dad, so don't point to Dad.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh. We got Bob, the keeper of the big plug, is in here now.
Come on. Bob, which thing that needs to be off? And then this.
Yep.
Okay, now somebody
created a gotcha.
And it gotcha.
I'm blaming it on Bob Surratt. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, now you can talk, Joseph.
I cannot hear.
Yep. You can't hear? Yeah, it's because you need to turn up the volume a little bit.
How about that? Can you
hear
now?
No? Really?
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Well,
that's
this
weird.
Big buildup, and now we can't hear and
Boy,
we can't talk.
I'm blaming everything on Bob Surratt.
How's that? Is that a little bit better?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
good
now
deal.
You can hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and he knows to tap his microphone to know that he is on the air.
Okay, so you're on the air. But, Joseph, you listen to the radio station, so you know when we introduce things, sometimes we have a little bit of a musical thing to kind of set the stage for what we're going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a musical theme. So since you are here, we have a specially made introduction for you. So now, Julian, hit the Joseph introduction.
Joseph, Joseph, Joseph. Joseph, 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 Joseph. 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 Joseph, 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 Joseph,
okay.
Joseph, Joseph.
No, wait, he has to spell it.
J-O-S-E-P-H, Joseph. J-O-S-E-P-H, Joseph. 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 Joseph, 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 Joseph.
That's a rockin' little tune.
Joseph, Joseph. Joseph, 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 Joseph.
He could have come up with some other lyrics, like...
Okay. Well, that was the important stuff.
Yes.
So that's your very own introduction, Joseph.
Whenever you're on the radio with us, now you got your own song, okay?
Okay.
All right. You've been here for a few days. You got here on Tuesday night, right? We've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of time to spend together, but today you had some free time. What did you do today? Come on. You spent 2 hours at Horner Park doing what?
Mega Lucario.
Mega Lucario Raid Day, right?
Okay, now what is... Explain to everybody listening, what is Mega Lucario Raid Day?
What did you do at the raid day? Because I saw a picture. Your dad sent a picture. There were a lot of people there for the raid day, right? Nope, this is yours.
Yes.
So we were out at Horner Park, and there were about 100 people there. It was
yeah.
a surprise. A community ambassador put the event together, and all the people got together, and we then went around, and if you haven't played Pokemon Go, you do lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of walking in
really?
Groups. And there are virtual gyms, I'm big air quote for the gyms. You go out and use the Pokemon
gyms
Go.
Gyms as in G-E-M-S?
No, J-Y-M, or G-Y-M-S, gymnasiums.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. And in it, there's going to be like the person that you're battling. In this case, it was Mega Lucario. And you get 20 people together and kind of go into the gym and you fight Mega Lucario. And if you beat him, you get to catch him. And
did you catch him, Joseph? Did you have any luck?
Got one shiny out of like the 6 billion Lucarios that we've eaten.
But you did get one shiny, so that was good. It was worth it.
And I was looking at the website, and apparently this is a nationwide thing. It was going on in cities all over the country today.
It was actually globally. So it started overseas, and you know, between 11 a.m. 5 p.m. in every major city in the world, starting over in Asia and then coming all the way.
So roughly how many people worldwide were doing this today?
Millions,
yeah.
Millions.
Wow. Because Joseph, I think last night, weren't you looking on your phone? They were doing the Mega Lucario in Japan, right? You showed me where they were getting ready for it.
Say Lucario, say Lucario.
Lucario. I keep practicing. I know it's L-U, right? Not L-A.
Exactly.
Okay, so one of the things I wanted to talk about is you've been going to Disneyland quite a bit. What is your favorite thing at Disneyland these days?
Shopping.
Shopping? I love you, child. You are my favorite human being.
And what do you like to shop for?
Random pieces of toys that you can play with.
Random okay. toys. And speaking of toys,
I have to publicly thank Joseph for the most wonderful birthday present.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Lego radio. And if you go to the Steve and Johnny show page on Facebook, you will see a picture of Joseph and I in this wonderful Lego radio. And you can actually...
Well, let him explain what you can do with the radio. You can take the back off, right?
You can basically like turn the gears on it to make it turn on and off. And when it's off, it can go all the way. But when it's on, it doesn't go all the way.
But you can put what in the back of the radio?
Your phone, and it makes whatever you're listening to come out from...
Yeah.
From it.
Now, ours only plays WGN radio, right?
As it should.
Yes.
So he demonstrated how you pop off the circuit board on yep. the back and you snap your phone in there, and it's really amazing.
And how many pieces were involved in this? How many thousands of pieces, Joseph?
Was it about 1,000?
1,000.
It's about 1,000.
1,000 mm-hmm. pieces?
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick, you were telling me, there's actually, because we were doing it, you can actually, without the phone in there, you turn the radio on, and you turn the dial, and there's actually different format radio stations.
Yeah, there's a little sound chip in there that they gave that has, like, 8 different random sounds. So if you turn one switch on, which, by the way, the amount of engineering just to turn this thing on was yeah. astonishing, and then turn the dial all the way one way or all the way to the other, it plays, like, 8 different things, like... Hello, caller. What name this sound?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then radio jingles, and it was just like, okay, this is really fantastic. But what really shocked me about Joseph is we worked together very closely to put this together. He actually did the first 3 bags out of 8,
mm-hmm.
Every piece he put together. And then... As I said, though,
your finger really gets sore really doing this. I mean, but you're pushing and snapping.
He actually figured out how to... put the phone in without anybody showing him.
Oh.
So it was like, wait a minute, why am I hearing LA flights coming out of this?
So he had the air traffic controller channel coming through the radio. And Joseph,
what were you going to say?
When you try to snap your finger to get that one piece on, it feels like your finger is in flimsy noodles, and it feels like it's going to break off.
I hear you. Yes, because I only tried to do it a couple times, and it really smarts. I just want to show you the picture of you and Grand Dude on our Facebook page. You have 542 people who like that picture already.
And if you haven't seen it, go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And scroll down to, it's about the second or third post there, and mm-hmm. you will see a picture of what happened on Friday when I was starting my 81st turn around the sun, accompanied by 8-year-old Joseph and this yes. very cool radio.
So, Joseph, you're going to be in third grade, right?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, okay. Go ahead.
I forgot.
I know that feeling.
Okay, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with Joseph's question. So stay with us, and more coming up at WGN. He's King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and Joseph Gibson Chrisman is in the studio with us. Joseph, what is that music we're listening to?
The Pokemon music.
It is Pokemon music. And Julian, you were a Pokemoner yourself, right?
I still am.
You still are. Okay. Never mind. All right. One of the other things that we, when we had a little meeting, Joseph, you and I talked about some of the things we could chat about on the radio. Your love of flying. Our listeners are very familiar with the Lego Concorde that you made. That was pretty awesome. When you got here, the very first day you were here in Chicago, where did you go to buy what you've got in your hand?
I don't know where we went to go.
You went to the airplane store.
The airplane model store, okay? I don't know the actual name of the store.
Okay. But it's a place you enjoy. It's a little place, but it's just full of airplanes, right?
Like every single corner. There can be train, airplane, 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 airplane.
Which one did you get?
717 Delta, because when we were at the airport leaving our gate, I saw the 717, I was like, I need that.
And it's not that you wanted it. You needed it
for your collection, right.
How many airplanes do you have in your collection?
Maybe 10, 20?
The amount of little model airplanes, as I look at the certain amount of little airplanes that I have.
There's a lot.
Probably about 50.
About 50 of them, yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, at least you didn't travel with them, because they're heavy. Because if you had a suitcase full of them, as you did one time you came with all of them, it was a very heavy suitcase. But you're enjoying now. You're flying because you have the flight simulator, don't you?
Microsoft Flight Simulator, on the other hand, is basically a flight simulator with all the types of airplanes, and you can do whatever you want.
You could fly into Midway or O'Hare or LAX, right?
Yeah.
Where do you like to fly into?
Usually LAX or...
Actually,
Bob Hope.
To be completely honest, he likes flying into the Pacific Ocean.
Oops, I didn't mean to do
He's
that.
Really, really good at taking off. Landing, he likes the Pacific Ocean.
Well, that's a really great device to teach hand-eye coordination, right?
It really is. And the fact is that the folks at Microsoft, if you've got an Xbox and have the Xbox Gold Pass or whatever they're calling their top-of-the-line, you know, premium gaming, you can download it and play it for free on any Xbox, modern Xbox, mm-hmm. and the next version is coming out in November, and you better believe we're going to be there. The game is free, air quotes, because it's to anybody who has a pass, but then you have to buy all the airplanes and all the liveries. And
let
me just say that having an 8-year-old who loves airplanes and loves liveries, and I need another job.
No, we're going to put him to work.
because paying for all the airplanes that he has is just digital airplanes. And it's like, why am I paying $20 for a
digital airplane? Once you buy it, you get to keep it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so if you have $20 and you want to play with the simulator,
get an Airbus A380, then...
You can do that.
You can buy an airplane.
But we've told the story before that a friend of ours in Florida who was a pilot actually practiced on the Microsoft Flight Simulator because each year he had to be,
tested.
Year he had to be tested or recertified or something like that. And that's what he used to keep his hand in it.
It's fantastic. It's as realistic as you can get without having to go to flight safety and pay the actual
simulator. It is amazing to see it, too, because it looks like you're coming right into the runway, and you've got all of the buildings and everything just exactly the way it is in reality.
Well, and you can actually then switch views and get into the cockpit, and all the switches work in the cockpit. They're in the right place.
Wow.
Exactly like you're being in the cockpit.
Joseph, when you get on the plane, do you peek inside the cockpit as you're getting on the plane to see what's going on up there?
Do you?
Uh-oh.
Joseph is thinking. Because, Joseph, I always peek inside the cockpit. Do you?
He takes a picture. He always leans over and takes a picture to see what's going on up there.
Is it a Microsoft Flight Simulator or real life?
In real life.
In real life.
Since we don't have a simulator.
When we're on the plane.
Yeah. Well, what else do you plan on doing? Today you had pizza at Pequod's, and you went to Woodfield Shopping Center, and you ended up at the radio station. So that's about it, right?
Megalucario.
Oh, of course, Megalucario. How could I forget that? Because that started your day, right?
Did you have fun at Megalucario?
We spent about 2 hours, and my legs were already dying by that time.
It was a little hot, too, wasn't it?
It was a lot of walking. I'm really impressed with, you know, how spaced out all the Pokestops were here.
But wait a minute. When you guys go to Disneyland, how many steps do you typically watch?
20,000
steps?
Yeah. And now, when we were walking all the way, I was so thirsty, and my legs were hurting so much.
You felt like a noodle, right? Oh, golly.
I was like,
That's when you wanted to be on an airplane.
Yes.
Well, hopefully we'll find some fun things to do next week while you're here.
Oh, but you have to talk about, you've made friends with some ducks, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we had.
How many ducks did we have yesterday?
A couple days ago,
we had 24. We had 22, and then they realized we had the good food.
They were like, oh, what is this piece of technology?
Is it true that the ducks know you and they're coming up to you now?
They're coming out of the water for us.
I want to say that they really
they know we got the good stuff.
Yeah, they really know.
Because there's a little pond not too far from our house.
It's a secret pond.
And Johnny and Joseph have been walking over to the pond, and you just go over there now and you shake the little bit because you have, it's not, you're not,
it's not
doing
bread
and stuff.
No.
This is actual duck food.
Duck food, which is not cheap. 10 pounds of duck food was an investment. So we put it in a big plastic bag, and now when we walk up to the pond and we start shaking it, I know now that they know that we got the good stuff because we went from a few ducks to 24 ducks the other day. And it's funny because this pond has these floaties, right, Joseph? These white swans that are just floating around.
Basically, the white swans that were like...
They're fake.
Yeah.
And they're and what are they supposed to scare away?
Geese.
And the big old geese run when they see the fake white swans, which is amazing to me because swans look so beautiful and so delicate, and they're just wooden things that are floating around out there.
And when we first noticed it, we were like, this guy's not moving. This guy's not breathing.
Are they real? And after we took a picture, we realized they weren't real.
They were fake.
They were fake. But it's fun. And we've enjoyed, as I say, do not take bread to ducks because I did all kinds of research and that's bad, bad, bad. Because when it gets on the water and it weights them down and it's just not good diet for them, and duck food is worth it because they know it's the good stuff. They literally were fighting over it at one point.
Purina duck chow.
Yes, that's exactly what they were doing.
And one of them, last time when we were looking at them, we noticed that they were biting each other's necks. They were trying to eat each other.
They were. They were flipping each other like, I'm getting this food. You're not getting it. So anyway, it was one of the fun things that we've done, and we will continue doing that next week since they're counting on us, right?
Yeah. Even though they are starving for more duck food as soon as we leave.
They're going to be waiting for us tomorrow, that's for sure. Well, Joseph, thank you for stopping by tonight. When you walk out of here, you're going to think of all the things you wish you had said. So we'll have to do it again sometime, okay?
You have to make a list of all the things that you think of that you wanted to say.
And write out your list so you don't forget, okay?
Good.
Well, thanks for dropping by.
And
thank you.
And Patrick is going to be back with us next week, and we're going to talk about all kinds of things, including, did you hear the Delta story?
It's been surprising, and I know some people who are techs in the industry and they're going, oh, those poor technologists had to go and do manually one by one.
And it was because of the big breakdown last week.
Because of the big breakdown, but also they had BitLocker open, so they had to know the key to get into the computer to restart it. And oh, wow. It just took forever.
And Southwest is still sitting back and laughing.
Yeah, Southwest is sitting there, hey, you know, we've got our punch cards. And
yes, and didn't happen to us. We got by okay.
But I know we're going to talk tech stuff next week, but real quick question. There's something that I saw, and I'm wondering, is it a scam? It's on Facebook and some other social media sites, where if you've had a problem because of the this most recent
breakdown, is what breakdown. I call it.
That here, click on this and we'll help you fix it.
Be very careful. There, I mean, CrowdStrike had a thing where they were sending out to all the techs who were impacted $10 Uber Eats gift cards.
I don't
that
saying,
did not
Sorry,
work.
We just caused you so much trouble. Here's a $10 gift card. By the way, it's expired and doesn't work as, you know, surprise. But there are going to be a lot of scammers out there saying, hey, we know you had problems with CrowdStrike. We need to get you into the system. So if you can just go here and download this program and put it on your computer, or if you can go and give us your credit card information,
we'll fix everything.
Yeah. No,
under any circumstances, everything that you see coming from CrowdStrike, you've got to assume is a scam. You're going to let your network administrators tell you what's real. Do not trust anything in your inbox, anything online. Let your network administrators say this is real or this is not.
Right.
They'll have the communication channels open on the back end for them.
Good. Okay. And we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. We'll get to this and a whole lot more next week. We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Stay with us.
Captain said so.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Shout Bamalama.
I don't know that one.
Which version was that, Julian?
The Detroit Cobras.
That was good stuff.
That's nice.
And considering Patrick, Alabama's finest, just left, it was kind of a shout-out to Alabama, too. Well, we want to take a moment and do our shout-out for tonight, and we'd like to welcome you all in here. If I miss you this week, I'll catch you next week. By the way, I'm just bummed that the fireworks are way over behind the buildings tonight.
Yeah, why are they moving them?
I'm just seeing the very edge of it.
Because usually we can see all the fireworks, and... We had Joseph looking at the fireworks, and they've kind of moved them. They're still going on.
They're kind south of us.
They're farther south, so we're seeing like a corner of the fireworks.
Yes. So, Navy Pier, if you're listening, please move them over a little bit, because I like to take pictures of them on Saturday night at 10. Okay, Dean is listening in Indy, and Stacy's in Algonquin, and Robin's in Dyer, and Sherry Hanrahan is in Romeoville, and Jim G is in Wisconsin, and Mark is in Aurora with 3 C Crane radios.
All right.
Ken Fallett is in Ann Arbor. JP's in Peoria. Bonnie's in Butternut, Wisconsin. Yo, Bonnie. She knows we just like saying butternut. And Carrie Johnson is listening to us in Palm Coast, Florida tonight. Gary Gray is tuned in from New Lisbon, Wisconsin. Mary Gold is in Amboy, listening with her husband. Been a longtime listener. Lester Clyden is home tonight. He's our trucking buddy, and he's at home in the suburbs of Chicago. Christine Failing's in Plainfield. Robin Aikens in Port Charlotte, Florida. Beverly Ann Goodall is tuned in. Michelle Reitman's in Skokie. Hey, Michelle. Betty Wilkins, St. Louis, thank you for tuning in. Scott Cooper is listening from Naperville. Tom Kazmarek is in Highland Park. Janet Appenzella, that's an easy name to say, Appenzella. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru, she did a super one tonight for us with a picture of the radio that Joseph made for Steve. Jan Reinhardt is tuned in from the laboratory. Eric Baum once again sends us a lovely picture from Wells Beach, Maine, where he is tuned in. A picture from their view at the harbor. Brian Haig is in, he's just back from Ohio. Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Janet Gellert is in Gainesville. Carol Gosh, we got a lot of Floridians tonight. Carol Wirt is tuned in from Ingleside. Nora Brozanski from Aurora. Nancy Hollins with a big yippee. Thank you, Nancy. Bobby Danos, one of our great listeners from Sammich, Illinois. Susie Schimmel's in Glen Ellen. Rich Wade is in Troy, Missouri. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Keith Jack is in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Chuck Snitchler, best friend of this radio station, is tuned in tonight from Hobart, Indiana. Delphine Berriman, John Couture, he is listening in Warren, Michigan as well. Jim Lowe's, Roger Camp, Stephen Verheeren, Peter Jacobowitz is in Citrus County, Florida. Joan Smith, Bonnie Pearson, Joyce Moore, Rita Reagy, Fort Worth, Texas. Mary Ellen Vance, Shelbyville, Tennessee. Jeffrey Welshunt in Elkins, West Virginia. Patty Ford is tuned in. John Goodlow, I have to share with you guys what Meta AI says.
Oh, Meta AI is all over Facebook, and every yes. time we post anything on Facebook, Meta AI has to tell us what you guys are saying, yes. how many of you are saying it.
Yes.
They give us a synopsis of what they think we need to know about what you're saying.
Listeners are tuning in from various locations, including Illinois, Wisconsin, Florida, Texas, Indiana, and West Virginia, all to celebrate Steve's birthday and to enjoy the show's diverse lineup of Mega Lucario, Pierogi Fest, and special guest. Thank you, Meta AI.
Gee, Meta AI, we wouldn't have been able to figure that out by looking at all the posts.
And finally,
Meta AI is one of the dumbest things
I know
that Facebook has come up with.
And I hate when you go on Facebook, when you go to
you're trying to search something. Meta AI will give you a search
yes.
result. I got your search result.
Judy B's in Oak Lawn. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia. Edwin James is tuned in. And John Godine is in Bay City, Michigan. As I say, if I missed you, I'll catch you next week. But thank you so much for tuning in. And check out our pictures that we post on our trip to the radio station.
Yeah, some good shots tonight.
Yeah, as well as some pictures that are taken once we get here, because it's still daylight and it's just such a gorgeous view from the 18th floor.
It looked like it was almost a flotilla tonight when we got
yeah,
here.
Yeah, so much boat activity on the river. A listener wrote under the pictures, where is it? The street level studio is gone? ? And I answered, indeed, we're no longer in the Tribune Tower. That building is now $1 million condos. Another listener, Stephen, says, where have you been? WGN Radio has been moved from the Tribune Tower for a while. And frankly, we do miss that showcase studio sometimes. That was fun. On special occasions, but it was not a regular everyday thing for us because it could get weird in the middle of the night in the showcase studio.
It was fun on New Year's and yes. July 4th and things like that.
When we had a lot of people out there and you didn't have one stranger that decides to wander up to the window and try to get your attention.
Yeah.
Speaking from experience, she said, having reported traffic from that showcase studio for many years.
But the last couple New Year's that we broadcast from there were literally about 100,000 people outside.
Oh, because they closed Michigan Avenue.
Because they were doing that. What was it? What were
it was
they
the
calling
rising
it?
Star.
The rising star, which was supposed to be a thing, and it never became a thing.
It was supposed to take over the ball drop in New York.
Yeah.
And it was so dumb because this star would rise up and you could stand along the river and see it. So for that reason, we would have this ginormous crowd of people. It looked like, from our vantage point in the studio looking out, it looked like a scene from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Because they all look like zombies out there because it was always unbelievably cold. And someone was always standing at the window tapping saying, can I come in and go to the bathroom?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you can't come in and go to the bathroom. If we open that door...
We're not mean people, but
no. There was always somebody mouthing, please let me in to pee. No, I can't. And they would look pitiful with their hands clasped in the praying motion. Please.
Yeah.
And I felt for them. But you knew as soon as you opened that door, we would be in a heap of trouble.
By the way, you just put a song in the jukebox in my mind.
What's that?
One of the names you read, I believe, was Jim Lowe.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of Jim Lowe, who was a West Coast disc jockey who had a hit back in the, and let's bump back with it, Julian, see if you can find The Green Door by Jim Lowe.
Oh.
That was a, and it made the top of the charts.
Really?
Yeah. On Dot Records.
Oh, golly. And was there a flip side? You probably know that,
That
too.
I don't know.
Okay.
But we'll take a break, and then we'll bump back with Jim Lowe and The Green Door.
Wonder just what's going on in there. Saw an eyeball peeping through a smoky cloud behind the green door. When I said Joe sent me someone laughing.
This is a redone version.
You would know that.
This is not the original version.
You had your hand.
That's an electric piano.
That's an electric piano?
Yeah.
I thought it was a toy piano.
Oh, listen to this.
It's a toy piano.
See if you can find another version of this.
Really?
And you'll see the difference in the sound. That is not the original version.
It's
Jim Lowe singing, but also it's an electric bass as opposed to a stand-up bass.
Stop.
And the piano had...
Because you were really... You had this look... You were so perplexed, and your hand was to your chin, and you're like looking with your brow was furrowed. I'm thinking, what's going on? And then you say, it's not the original. Oh, my gosh. I was just hung up on the piano thinking it
Jordan,
was...
Jordan, as you're looking, if you find one that has the Dot record label, that would be the original version.
I thought it was a toy piano. And what was the green door? What was behind the green door?
Well, you have to knock three times and say Joe sent you.
He didn't have a bad voice, though. I will say that.
You got it, Julian?
Yeah, I found it.
Okay, hit it.
Midnight, one more night without sleeping. Watching till the morning comes creeping. Green door, what's that secret you're keeping? There's an old piano and they play it hot behind the green door. Don't know what they're doing, but they laugh a lot behind the green door. Wish they let me in so I could find out what's behind the green door. Not once tried to tell them I'd been there. Door slam. Hospitality's thin there. Wonder.
See, the door slam was louder on this one, too.
Oh, good.
Well, it's the details.
It was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. It's been covered by a number of artists. Most recently was Shakin' Stevens, who we've talked about getting on the show.
I would love to get Shakin' Stevens on the show.
The song Green Door. The lyrics describe the allure of a mysterious private club with a green door, behind which a, quote, happy crowd play piano, smoke, and laugh a lot. Now, the songwriter...
And I think there's a line in there where it says, and I said Joe sent me. I think that was kind of a callback to a previous hit record, and I forget who did it, but there was a song called Hernando's Hideaway.
Oh, now that I know, because my mom and dad were married in Hernando.
Enchanted place, a place where no one knows your face.
Mm-hmm.
A glass of wine, a sweet embrace. You're in Hernando's Hideaway.
That's not where they got married, by the way, but
no.
It was in Hernando.
A dark, secluded place.
Yes.
A place where no one knows your face. A glass of wine, a fast embrace.
Your
it's called Hernando's Hideaway. Ole, all you see are silhouettes.
Back to the green door, if I may.
By the way, Hernando's Hideaway, my dad had a workshop
in
the basement, and he had this sign made called Hernando's Hideaway. It read Hernando's Hideaway, and that was hanging over the door to his workshop.
So Bob Hutch Davey wrote The Green Door. And I just stumbled across this little piece of information. The songwriter, Davey, is the one that was his orchestra.
And the Hutch Davies Orchestra, oh, they backed a number of artists.
He played piano, and I guess the vocal group, the High Fives, had something to do with him.
Okay.
The track, Green Door, was arranged by Davy, who added thumbtacks to the hammers of his piano.
And that's why the piano solo, you got that really kind of a tinkly sound.
Which makes it sound like a toy piano.
Yeah.
That's what I've always thought. Yeah. So he added thumbtacks to the hammers of the piano. He sped up the tape to give it a honky-tonk sound.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was released, it went right to the top of the charts, and it was number one, replacing Love Me Tender by Elvis Presley on the charts.
Yep.
There's something wrong in this world when the Green Door bumps Elvis
Absolutely
Presley.
True.
That is just wrong, wrong, wrong.
And Jim Lowe was a very successful disc jockey in California. I want to say it was on KHJ, but I'm not positive.
James Ellsworth Lowe. And he was a disc jockey in the 40s and 50s. He was born in Springfield, Mo. Million-seller gold record recipient for the Green Door. And it also was very big in the UK. Mm-hmm. It was on the singles charts over there. He had an earlier song that he wrote called Gambler's Guitar, which was a million-selling hit for Rusty Draper. So,
yeah, Rusty Draper was also on Dot Records.
Mm-hmm. Lowe passed away in 2016 after a long illness. He also did something with Santa Claus Rides a Strawberry Roan, R-O-A-N.
Yeah.
Well, what? And Pretty Fickle Darling. You got to be careful when you say that. I was like, yeah, where am I going? Pretty Fickle Darling. And John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith. You. You.
That's one of your faves, right, Ron?
No, I was just going to mention, though, that Behind the Green Door was featured in a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh,
yes. Which one?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's right.
You're right.
That was a great
soundtrack, all in all.
Oh, they always are. He should. Yeah. Yeah, he should win Oscars for the soundtracks.
You're right. In fact,
that was a really good movie, too.
It was, yeah.
We saw that at the, where do we see that? Did we see it in Florida?
We did, yeah. With two other people, which is sad. Mm-hmm. But then it went on to win all kinds of Academy Awards. Oh, was that the last thing he did?
It is. It's his last movie, and his next one will be his final movie of his career. So he wants to go out with a big bang, and he had a movie that was called The Critic that he was working on, and then he shelved that, which was supposed to be like a sequel almost to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh.
But, Ron, maybe you know, because I was reading something just a couple weeks ago about what Tarantino's final movie is going to be, and I don't remember the description of it.
Well, The Critic is what he was working on, about a movie critic in the 70s, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. This is something else that he's currently
No, I haven't seen
on.
That. I haven't seen that yet.
Hmm. Well, now Green Door is stuck in your head. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry about that. We're going to take a break.
And we are, buckle up, boys and girls. We're going to be talking with Mr. Pierogi.
The one and only, right here on WGN.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could eat pierogies every day. Eat pierogies, it's part of every meal. But I gotta think twice, not sure what other food you got, but pierogies sure would hit the spot. Now let me seal the deal. Oh, I don't need much time to get them ready. Just throw them in some water or a pan. Oh, baby, these perfect pockets of Polish heaven in just a couple minutes fill you up with something more. Pierogies are great. Pierogies are great. Pierogies are great, great, great. Pierogies are great, great, great.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio.
I appreciate it.
I'll never hear George Michael the same again.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. And pierogies are great. My favorite line is the perfect pockets of Polish heaven. That describes a pierogi. Does. If one walked in here now, I would jump all over it. A little dumpling of goodness.
And
well,
the 30th annual Pierogi Fest is going on this weekend in
Whiting,
Indiana.
Where something like 300,000 people come out to eat pierogies and to celebrate.
And for the second year in a row, ladies and gentlemen, we are privileged to introduce Mr. Pierogi.
Oh, man, you know, that version is even better than the original, I think.
I think you're right.
Of course.
That version. That should be more popular than what it is. That was beautiful. That was very beautiful.
Well, Mr. Pierogi, are you exhausted after doing your pierogi duties today?
Man. Yeah, you know what? The festival is wrapping up for day two. We just had Sugar Ray, the band, a legendary band from the 90s, take the stage. So we're all, you know, worn out from that. But yes, it's been a fun 2 days so far. Day three, tomorrow, of course, in Whiting, Indiana. But the 30th anniversary, you mentioned it right there. I mean, geez, it's hard to believe it's been 30 years of Pierogi Fest.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to know back 30 years ago when, I guess.
How did this get started?
Three or four people got together and decided to make it happen, right, Tony?
Yeah, you know what? I was a kid. I don't know if I was at the first one. I may have been a baby at the first one, but I know my parents went to the first one. They said it wasn't really much. There's a couple pierogi stands. They ran out. And so from that to the three-day extravaganza it is now, where there's over 70 food vendors, I mean, two beer gardens.
Wow.
Man, it's way different than it was 30 years ago, that's for sure.
Yeah.
By the way, we should unveil Mr. Pierogi's secret identity of Tony Panic, who we talked with. Last time we talked with you, you were still with WJOB. Now you're working with the Munster Theater?
I feel like this is like the Batman reveal for Bruce Wayne, but you know, we could say who I am for sure. But yes, of course, I was with WJOB for eight years, and I still help them out from time to time. But yes, my main job now is at Theater Center in Munster, Indiana, Center for Visual Performing Arts. A lot of great entertainment comes to the Center for Visual Performing Arts, so make sure you keep tabs on that. But yes, that's my full-time gig now. But you know what? It's still entertaining the crowds, and that's what I really love to do the most.
Do they know you're Mr. Pierogi?
They do, yes.
That got you the job, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't wear a mask out here, so it's kind of easy to spot me, but it's not like I have a giant head over my normal head. So
thank goodness.
So it's not like the Lone Ranger or Batman or anything like that, but I'm pretty much in plain sight 24/7.
So what have been some of the highlights of this year's Pierogi Fest?
Well, we kick things off, of course, Friday it opens at 11, but 7 o'clock is kind of like the main big deal with the parade, the wackiest parade in the Midwest. Dare I say wackiest parade in the U.S.? Maybe, dare I say, the wackiest parade in the world. But there's a lot of great entertainment there. I'm in there. We had the Halupki guy, Miss Punchki. We had the Bouchas, the Lawnmower Brigade, the Pierogettes, your favorite cast of characters, and a lot more. In that parade, for sure.
Let me take you back to the Bouchas. That's a loving term for grandma, right?
Yep, a Polish grandma, basically, yes.
And so the Bouchas, they're rock stars at Pierogi Fest, as I understand it.
These group of ladies, I mean, it's really something to see. They are the stars of the fest, that's for sure. And they've been doing it for a very long time. I dare say, since the beginning, the majority of them have been doing it since the beginning. So they kind of, in turn, grown into the Bouchas role as the years progress. And I can't imagine the festival without them, that's for sure.
Do they have curlers in their hair?
They do. They have curlers. They have babushkas. They have the gowns and everything.
Oh, no.
And they stay in character throughout the whole fest. Even when they're resting, they're in character.
Oh, my gosh. I bet at least one of them is wearing stockings that she's got rolled up to her knees. Very, very sensible shoes. If you're a babushka, you got very sensible shoes on, especially if you're going to be out there walking. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tons of walking. They're getting their steps in. That's one thing to be guaranteed, as am I. I'm getting my steps in, too, here.
Now, how many different kinds of pierogies are served?
Well, over 70 food vendors, but not all pierogi. I mean, you'll get all kinds of pierogi here, from the classics like potato and cheese, but there's some other pierogi as well. I know in the years past we have buffalo chicken pierogi and whatnot. So there's all types of pierogi, all types of Polish food. But say, you know, you're not into Polish food, which is hard to believe, but some people aren't. There's really food for anybody. So if you don't see a vendor you really appreciate, you could for surely see them another one down the line. But there's all kinds of food here. It's not just Polish food. And really, that's one thing I could guarantee.
Well, and we mentioned that it's in Whiting, Indiana. But specifically, for people who may not know where the heck Whiting is, where exactly is it? And where is the main drag for everything?
Steve, the region. We're talking about the region here.
Yeah.
It's Whiting, Indiana, of course, not far from the Chicagoland area where you guys are stationed at there. Just on the tip there, northwest Indiana, just right, really, Whiting, right over the border of Illinois. You can't miss it, but it's right there. A fast drive, no matter where you're at, if you're in Indiana or Illinois. But I met people who drove, you know, 4 hours or spoke from Ohio. Met a woman that came from Florida for this.
People kind of
do their vacations around Pierogi Fest. So they travel from all around the U.S. and all over to get here at the last week in July.
I like the way you pronounce it. I always say pierogi, but you're saying it differently. Yeah. Say it again.
I say pierogi. It's a very hard emphasis on that P, pierogi. But you
pierogi.
Know what? I can't roll my R's that well. Some people do the cool rolling of the R's. Uh-huh. I can't do all that. And I know people pronounce pierogi, and that's probably the standard saying. Now, I do, there's a big, when people say pierogies, there's no such thing. I know I don't correct them or anything like that, but it's always pierogi, no matter what. One pierogi or multiple pierogi, it's just pierogi.
That was my next question, because I felt like it was wrong when I said, so how many pierogies are there at pierogi now?
Everybody does it.
Yeah.
But I'm old school, I guess. I just say it's pierogi.
And again, for people who are listening to us, and we have listeners tonight, a lot of folks in Florida are tuned in tonight, but all over the East Coast are tuned in. If you don't know what the pierogi is, it's a dumpling, and it can be filled.
It's a dumpling.
It can be filled with, as you say, cheese, or as I understand it, there's alligator in pierogi that's available. Have you tried anything?
I haven't tried the gator pierogi. I'm going to put it on my list, but it's normally cheese and potato for me. I'm a traditionalist, so to speak. But heck, it's 2024. You can put whatever you want in there, I guess.
So when you get an order of pierogi, say you get a half a dozen pierogi, would that be the typical order?
I would say that's a good. I mean, if you're just it depends on how hungry you are, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
If you're very hungry, you might get a few more of those. But surely, yes. But, I mean, at Pierogi Fest, the sky's the limit. Eat till you knock out, I guess you could say. Knock yourself out with a bunch of pierogi.
That's right. And as I said at the outset, if a pierogi walked in here right now, I would jump on it.
Oh, I'd be all over it.
I'm just, I'm starving for one at this. And I've got to say
you guys could end the show right now. Come on down.
Yeah. Now, tomorrow, it ends a little earlier because it's the last day of the three-day festival. So what are the hours tomorrow?
So kickoff time is normally 11 o'clock, which is tomorrow, Sunday. It ends at 5 only because they kind of turned the city over to Monday morning, because it's right on the main drag, 119th Street of Whiting, Indiana, downtown Whiting. So the businesses have to return to normal. And it's amazing, the teardown. I saw it for the first time last year. It's amazing how quick they changed things to get it back to normal zones, basically Monday morning. It's really impressive to see.
I'm looking here at the listing of the food vendors. You talk about impressive. Holy smokes. As you said, it goes on. And if you don't want to have the pierogi, fine. You can have some great chocolate. You can have ice cream. You can have fish.
You know what? And people feel like they could. Some people just come here and don't even have one by the pierogi. I get it. There's many food options to have. You know, I feel like you would have to have a little by a pierogi, but you're not obligated when you come here to have the pierogi.
And for people listening to us all over the planet, you can go to pierogifest.net. That's pierogifest.net, and you will find all the information, including a map of what's going on 119th Street, food vendors, arts and crafts, tchotchke mall, beer gardens, stages, kid zones. It's really it's a fun event.
Mr. Pierogi, a listener wants to know, how much does it cost to get into the festival?
Oh, the festival is absolutely free. Free to come into the festival. Of course, if you want to pay for food and whatnot, they charge for that. But the festival is free. Parking, again, you mentioned the website, pierogifest.net, that has a list of the parking lots you could park in. There is if you want to take the shuttle bus from those parking lots, there is a $5 fee for that. Mm-hmm. Or you could walk it as well if you want to get your steps in. And, of course, as always at Pierogifest, you can park on any street you can find. Only, though, don't park there if you have as a chair or a statue of the Blessed Mother. Because that means it's taken. You can't park in that spot.
If someone
a phone there or what a chair, you can't park in that spot.
If they have dibs on it, don't go messing with it. Especially
you can't.
If it's a statue of the Blessed Mary, you're asking for trouble. You do not want to mess.
Lightning will strike you.
I've seen the Blessed Mother out there.
I don't doubt it.
Yes,
boy, you have had great weather for this fest this year.
I tell you, it's been amazing. I know the first year I did it last year, that Friday, it was over 100 degrees, and then we had a storm come in. This year, you know, it's in the 80s, so that's your typical summer weather. It's been nice out here. It gets a little toasty sometimes, of course, but you can't complain too much when it's in the 80s at the end of July. That's just typical summer weather. But, yes, we have been blessed with some great weather. Forecast tomorrow still looks pretty good, maybe some showers later in the day, but that's just you know, the weather in the Midwest, it changes every minute, so you really can't go by that. But, yeah, you're right. Boy, oh, boy, can't ask for better weather than this.
What is the material of the pierogi that you are wearing at Pierogi Fest?
How hot does that get?
Yeah, you know what? The material, we have a great costume designer named Tina. She lives here in Whiting. But she's designed these new costumes for myself, Loopki Guy and Miss Punchki. They're just basically cloth costumes. Very lightweight, maybe way more lightweight compared to some of the past costumes. So I'm very grateful for that. I'm not going to be passing out on 119th Street. So, again, when it's hot for everybody, so you can't complain too much. But I have been blessed with a very aerodynamic, comfortable costume.
I got to tell you, as much as I enjoy seeing you in your pierogi, if I was given a choice, I'd be Miss Punchki. I'd be all over the Punchki. And that would be a fun costume.
Who doesn't love a good Punchki?
How about it? Yes. Yeah. As some people call them, glorified jelly donuts. Well, you haven't lived, right?
Yeah. No, and those two, I mean, with those as well, I mean, we talk about the pierogi and stuffing with whatever you like. Punchki as well. You could do fruit or you could do something sweet. You could really, it's in this day and age, whatever you want to fill it up.
You're killing me now.
We are so hungry.
Really, this is sad. I got a pack of crackers.
Yeah, come on. You guys got to get some pierogi in there when we talk about
literally this. All I have is a pack of crackers with me tonight. This is so sad. A bottle of water and a pack of crackers.
Next year if we do this, you should send somebody down and then they can deliver some to the studio, you know?
I hear you. Real quick before we let you go, Mr. Pierogi, listener wants to know if you can bring your dog to Pierogi Fest. Is that okay?
Dogs? I see many dogs. I pet many dogs. I've held babies. I did it all at Pierogi Fest. So, yes, dogs are welcome, of course. I should have leashed, of course. But, yes, your dogs are welcome here. And dogs love pierogi, too, just as much as humans.
Yes, I love it. Well, you are a great Mr. Pierogi. Thank you for joining us tonight, Tony. Enjoy Sunday. Hopefully the weather will hold out for you guys, and you'll have a third day. Because previous Pierogi Fest, they've talked about anywhere from 250 to 300,000 people coming out, which is crazy.
It's madness, but it's a good type of madness. And
thank
you guys for having me on again. I enjoyed it last year. It's nice. After the band Sugar Ray ended, I walked back down 119th Street. I saw some polka bands. I came to the Chamber of Commerce where I'm stationed at right now. So it's a nice way to end out day two of the fest.
Well,
Tony, it's always fun to talk to you.
Thank you.
And don't forget, stay in touch with us about anything going on at the
theater.
At the Munster Theater, too.
Sure, sure. Yeah. We'll keep in touch there, Steve. That would be greatly appreciated. And am I correct in saying, did you just have a birthday?
Yep.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Facebook reminds me, but happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you.
That's the best thing about Facebook. We get to stay in touch. Thank you,
Tony.
You don't
remember anybody's birthday. It just tells you.
Yeah, exactly.
Be safe tomorrow, and we'll hope for no rain so you can enjoy day three of Pierogi Fest in Whiting, Indiana. Thanks a bunch, Tony.
Thank you both, and I hope you make it out here sometime. If you can't make it out here, don't. Please have some delivered to the studio next year.
You got it.
Okay.
I'm all over
it. We'll do it.
Thank you.
All right, Steve and Johnny. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks so much, Tony. And as we said, Tony is now with the Munster Theater. We have been to the Munster Theater.
It's lovely.
My brother Lee lives in Munster, and that theater is a wonderful location. Yeah. And they do some really great. Was it the
Little Shop of Horrors?
Little Shop of Horrors. That's the last thing we saw there. It was really cool.
Text comes in from 773 area code. Pierogi Fest, my favorite festival ever. Love it. On Saturday, they have the Boucha cooking show, followed by Mr. Pierogi's songs. I'm Irish, and I love it because it's so unique. You think? It is really so Midwestern. Because I have visions of people listening up from the coast going, really? A dumpling? And this guy walks around in a dumpling outfit? Yeah, he does.
And I love the fact that this started out just as a little thing, and it has blossomed 30 years later, 300,000 plus people attending it.
It's put Whiting, Indiana on the map because, as he said, there are people that come from around the country to indulge in a pierogi. And yes, I checked, and gator pierogies are available this year. And there are some gluten-free pierogies.
I was just going to ask that. Yeah. Do they really have
gluten-free? There is at least, I see one vendor that claims that theirs are gluten-free, but there's always the disclaimer, you know, if we're selling other pierogies, you got to be careful, as we try to be.
I would love to try a gluten-free pierogi, because it's been years since I've had a pierogi.
I would eat one even if it didn't have stuffing in it.
Yeah.
I'm that hungry. I've got a freaking pack of crackers and a bottle of water with me tonight.
And before 11 o'clock, the Food Jones enters the studio.
If I had a pierogi for every time you said pierogi, I'd be full right now.
How about it? I just like saying
pierogi, pierogi, pierogi.
I would love a cheese one right now. How about you, Julian? What's your flavor?
Whatever the standard meat is.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like a pork pierogi?
Oh. Yes. Oh, my gosh. He said buffalo chicken wing pierogi.
Yes. Mm.
That sounds really good.
We're going to have to break out the crackers during the news.
Yep.
Dunk them in our water.
We're going to talk with our friend Chuck Mead.
Oh, yes, we are.
Yeah.
Because he's coming to space in Evanston next week, and we want you to know about it. And if you don't know Chuck, you need to get to know him.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN Radio.
I am a straight shooting fast talking email.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That lonely boy is a guy that we first met with BR549 years ago. He has gone on to all kinds of incredible things all over the world. A Million Dollar Quartet was one of the things he was involved with, and now he is coming to Space in Evanston.
That's right. Next week, he's going to be at Space in Evanston, and just in case you don't know of him, we want to introduce you to Chuck Mead. Chuck, how are you tonight?
So good to hear you guys' voice.
Well, it's so nice to catch up with you, man. I know you've been incredibly busy. Let's talk about this new CD, because you are performing with the Stalwarts on the CD. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's like during the pandemic, we had a four-piece band, and it was Mark Andrew Miller, who's been playing bass with me. He was in the last incarnation of BR-549. He's been playing with me for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and Marty Lenz, who's been playing drums for the last 15 years or more now, and then I had a utility guy that played steel and harmonica and banjo and cargo, and I traveled like that for probably about 10 years, and then during the pandemic, we started doing these live streams, and Carco was far away from us, and we were still in kind of a little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started doing this three-piece thing that took on a different, as you can hear, sort of a different timbre. It's still twangy, but mm-hmm. like I like to call that the Who on hay bales.
I love it.
It's good stuff. It really is.
Martin Lenz and Mark Andrew Miller, who've been playing with me for quite a while. It's just kind of us three going at it now.
Mm-hmm. Now, are the three of you then performing at Space in Evanston?
Yeah, that's what it'll be.
Cool.
Hillbilly three power trio.
That's awesome. Great.
That it sounds like you recorded that live. Did you?
Mostly. We did, but then we went back and put some schmutz on it. You know,
yeah.
So we didn't want to lose the whole three piece feel of it, though.
Right.
You know, you can get carried away, and suddenly you're doing Sgt. Pepper or something.
Now, let's back up for a second, because you are touring all over the place. In fact, you just finished a gig right now tonight. Where are you?
We are driving through the night in the pouring rain in Georgia.
Oh.
we're heading to outside the Atlanta area. We played in a place called Honey Path, South Carolina. Now, mm-hmm. when you see it written, it looks like it's saying Honia Path, but they say Honey Path, South Carolina. It was this little place called Fiddle and Bow, and it was a bunch of nice people, and we had a great gig, and it was a lot of fun. And now we're heading back towards home. Marky has to catch a flight early in the morning from Atlanta. So we got hotels in Atlanta, which is a couple hours away. So, like I said, driving through the night in the pouring rain.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a song right there.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you're in the middle of a song right now.
Well, that's why I was kind of hesitated. I was writing it down as we were talking. Putting it in the notes in my phone.
Now, have you ever played Space in Evanston?
No, I've never played that place before. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, you'll love it.
Okay, Chuck, I have to tell you, it is probably our favorite listening room. That's what we call it, because the crowd that comes to Space in Evanston, they're going to sit, they're going to enjoy, they're going to really pay attention to what you're doing. It is a very responsive crowd. The acoustics are great. It's a wonderful place.
Well, we'll try not to stink it up too bad, because you know us.
Well, you have a great reputation here in Chicago. I had to go back and check to see how many years Million Dollar Quartet played in Chicago. I can't believe that it was 8 years. And you as music director started it here in 08, right, Chuck?
Yes, we. That was the first full on. We did a couple of workshop productions in different little theaters, but that was the first full on in 2008. We did, and then we went to Broadway, and we went to West End, London with it.
Yeah,
national tour. I still work on, you know, it's in the non-equity license period now.
Mm-hmm.
But they did a separate license with a Norwegian Cruise Lines. And so it's on one of these big ships that have like 5,000 passengers.
Mm-hmm.
And so Million Dollar Quartet is on the Norwegian Getaway.
Wow.
And so two times a year, I go put that together. We rehearse 3 weeks in Tampa, Florida, where they have these rehearsal headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go on the ship for 7 or 10 days and put the guys on. And then I leave and come back in 6 months, because it's like a 6 month hitch on a ship.
Wow.
So I still have my toe in the water of Million Dollar Quartet. I can't escape it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they're just within the past couple of weeks, a new version of Million Dollar Quartet opened at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Yeah, yeah.
Just outside Chicago.
There was a lot of guys that I worked with that were on that production. And guys that we've worked with in like on the ship and in other on-land productions. I think I've done one since the national tour up in Issaquah, Washington, just on the side. But I did a couple of others. I did a production of Ring of Fire. I music directed that with the same team that we do Million Dollar Quartet on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was over there. What am I trying to think of? It's there in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I tried to get a hold of you guys to invite you to come out to the shows last year. It was Drury Lane.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I don't know how we missed that. Yeah.
I think I
shot you guys a message and then I didn't hear back. I thought maybe you hated me now.
Probably. It was one of the one of those weeks when we hated Chuck Mead.
I think we were probably, if I recall correctly, because I vaguely recall seeing something about that. I think we were in Florida you were here.
Yeah. But you know what?
Maybe that's what it was.
Chuck, it always blows me away, though, that we're talking about Chicago embracing this roots music, enough so that Million Dollar Quartet stayed here for 8 years. I mean, if you'd said this was in Nashville or Memphis, I'd go, oh, well, of course. But this was in Chicago, which was really amazing if you think about that.
Well, you know, Chicago's a music city.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, and I feel real at home there. I love spending time in Chicago. I miss MDQ not being over there at the Apollo. I love those years. It was great because I got to come to Chicago a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the most famous WLS barn bands.
Sure.
That was predated the Opry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Really.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
I remember my grandpa telling me he went up to the barn dance one time and saw the Hoosier Hot Shots.
Yep.
So, and you know, their tagline was, "Hezzy, are you ready?" Because Hezzy was one of the guys in the band. They'd always start off like that. So, and I thought my grandpa made that up.
Yeah.
When I got older.
With all the stuff you've done from BR549 to Million Dollar Quartet to recording at Sun Studios,
doing your own radio show, on WSM,
one of the great radio stations. Do you ever have to just pinch yourself?
Well, yeah. Every now and again, I have to remember that I'm really lucky to be able to do all that and eke out a living doing all that. Sometimes I get, you know, everybody gets a little down and, you know, like, wow, I should be doing better. But then I look around, I'm like, how much better do I want it? I mean, really, I'm doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Well, what should we expect next from you? New album? What's going on with the group that you're working with right now?
I wrote a bunch of songs. We wrote a bunch of songs, and we recorded three of them. And it's not really even out on a CD. It's only out on, like, your streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
You get it through Spotify and or Apple Music or any of those. But I, it's like pretty much exclusively on a 45. I will send you, if you send me you guys' address, I'll send you the 45.
Whoa.
Oh, how cool.
Oh. Then we have to get a stylus so that we can play the 45.
No, no, actually, you're talking to two of the only people you, in the city of Chicago that may actually have a turntable. We have a couple turntables.
Well, yes, but the stylus is the important thing. The 45 adapter so that you can play it on your turntable, right?
You just don't want to put any old needle on
that. That's right. Chuck, assuming you're not driving, we're going to ask you to sit tight while we take a quick break, and we'll come back for a few more minutes with you. And you're not driving, are you?
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
Good. Good. Because you're driving in the rain. You're riding in the rain. Chuck Mead is our guest. He is coming to a space in Evanston. He's going to be there on Wednesday, the 31st at 7:30. And then watch out, Milwaukee. He's coming your way with the Stalwarts. They're going to be at Shank Hall, another great venue. Shank Hall on Thursday at 8 o'clock. And we'll be back with Chuck after this on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Chuck Mead. She got the ring. I got the finger.
No, it's rang.
Rang.
Got the ring, right. And rang. I got the finger.
I love that song,
and Chuck is happily married, right, Chuck?
Yes, I am. Very happy.
That was just
maybe she's not as happy as I am.
Hey, Chuck, I have to ask you for a second. We're talking about, among the many things you do, you also do a radio show on WSM in Nashville. Are you in their new studios, or where are you doing that from now?
Well, you know, I always tape it ahead of time because it's sort of an interview show, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like it's mostly people I know, but mm-hmm. are music biz people, you know, artists. And I have them in my little shack out back. I have this little place where I have a rehearsal spot, and it's kind of where I live. Mm-hmm. I have a little shower and a kitchen. Hmm. My wife one day came out there and goes, "You just live here now, don't you?" And it's in our backyard.
Uh-huh.
And people come in, and I tape it there, and we just sit and talk, and, you know, certain songs come up, and then we just play it like we're playing records. And I got a little feature. I had a little feature for a long time called Creepy or Sexy.
Mm, oh, that was so great.
It was Creepy or Sexy.
Yes, yes. And Conway Twitty often popped up in your Creepy or Sexy segment.
Well, yes, Conway. It's heavily Conway Twitty. And Bill Anderson, too.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yep. Whispering Bill.
Whispering Bill.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, it's a gas. It's another thing, like, wow, I'm on WSM once a month.
That's right.
My name's mm-hmm. out there.
Yeah.
And it's great. Although we just played the Opry last night.
That's right. You've done the Opry a couple of times because you did it with the BR549, but they keep calling you back because they're smart, and you do the Opry now as a solo performer, right?
Yeah, it's always amazing that I love it when I get that. I'm looking for the exact count, but I know it's over 170 times I've played this.
What?
Oh, yeah.
The Opry?
Yeah.
That's wow. That's awesome. Yeah, that looks good on a resume.
Lunch with BR, and then you know, I got the call over the years, you know. Well, then if you stick around long enough, those kind of numbers start piling up, you guys.
but even after doing it that many times, there is something special about that stage, isn't there?
It really is. There's nothing like it. And you know, it's strange to think about that. It's the Grand Ole Opry show has been at the Opry House longer than it was at the Ryman Auditorium.
Yeah,
which is what it is best known for. You know, the heyday, the 50s. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Although every time we play out there, and they have maybe four Opry shows a week now, different themes and stuff, and they're. Every time I'm out there, it's sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people are just drawn to, you know, people playing actual music. It's a really great show.
And
I've gone out and sit in the audience before, you know, when I wasn't playing.
Yeah.
Like when they were celebrating Del McCurry's 20th anniversary of being an Opry member.
Mm-hmm.
And so they called it the Grand Del Opry. And it was fantastic. I mean, what a great show.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Give us a little bit of a tease. For people going to see you Wednesday at Space, what are some of the things you're going to be doing?
Well, the cage dancers, we couldn't afford them anymore.
Oh.
They kind of pared back a little bit.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be there, but we do some dancing on stage. There's no Russian splits anymore. After I turned 60, I just couldn't do the Russian splits anymore. And besides that, Donnie's, you know, from BR, Donnie used to do that.
Yes. Yeah. In his overalls.
Yes.
In his overalls, right.
And now Donnie's still hanging out with Bob Dylan, right?
Yeah, until recently, yeah.
We got to track that boy down, too.
But yeah, I love that guy.
We'll play
some of the stuff that's off of my solo records, and we'll play some BR-549, and we'll play classic country. You know, kind of like tonight. It just we fell into a hole of, well, what do you want to hear?
That's fun.
I love that.
Yeah,
and we just start going at it. So.
Well, as I said a few minutes ago, you won't be hanging around Chicago very long because you're going to head up to Schenck Hall in Milwaukee, which is another fabulous venue. You're going to love that one. Wednesday night, you're here at Evanston Space, 7:30, and then Thursday night, you're up in Milwaukee at 8 o'clock at Schenck Hall. I hope sometime you'll be in town and we can visit with you in the studio, get you to bring your guitar in here.
Oh, I would love that. I would come in a second. I was just thinking when we were on that commercial break, I was just thinking about how we used to finish up a gig in Chicago and then come see you guys.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Those were good times.
I tell you.
You always had great food for us.
I love feeding you guys because you made me feel so good because you would just chow down on fried chicken. And I think you're allergic to bananas, aren't you?
Well, yeah. Yes.
Because I think I brought a banana pudding in one time and they were teasing you about they were going to give it to you and you were going to swell up. And I thought, that's not funny. Don't do that.
Yeah, well, I give Donnie some shrimp and he'll swell up.
Oh, jeez. Chuck, it's so nice.
He's got a shellfish allergy.
And that's very serious, too.
Yeah.
It is really nice to catch up with you.
You don't mess around with that.
I hope that you will come by sometime. I know you're a busy guy. Folks can follow you at chuckmead.com. They can click to you from our Facebook page and find out more about you, get your music. There's a lot of good stuff out there. And see you Wednesday night up at Space in Evanston. Thank you, Chuck.
Chuck, it's been fun. I hope we get to do it in person next time.
Absolutely. It's so great to talk to you guys.
Be careful.
And, I look forward to the next time.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Chuck. He is such a cool guy, and I will never forget the first time we had them in studio with BR-549.
Unbelievable.
Oh, just.
Yeah.
Go up to Space Wednesday and see Chuck Mead. You will thank us.
We're going to take a break right now on WGN.
If you hear someone knocking on your door, if you see something crawling across your kitchen floor, baby, it'll be me.
and I'll be looking for you. Well, if you see someone hanging from a lamppost bright, if you see someone hanging out in the night, baby, it'll be me, and I'll be looking for you. I'm gonna look on the mountain and the deep blue sea. Gonna search in the forest, looking, looking every tree. Well, if you see someone hanging out in all the bars, if you see a rocket ship on its way to Mars, baby, it'll be me, and I'll be looking for you. I'll take it, Donna.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. That thing still sounds good. We're talking with Chuck Mead, and this was Chuck with BR549.
He's the lead singer on this.
When they were in studio with us.
Yep.
This is the first time we had them in the studio.
With the whole band. The drums.
Stand-up bass.
Steel guitar. It was so much fun.
And that night, their bass player, Smilin' J. McDowell,
who was standing behind you with that big old stand-up bass.
And he's a big Gene Vincent fan. And I knew this. And they were just basically taking requests. And I said, okay. I just had a new Gene, it was a new Ed Sullivan CD that had a live performance of Gene Vincent on it. That Jay was really, he wanted. And I said, okay, if you guys can do the flip side of Jerry Lee Lewis's Whole Lot of Shaking Going On, it'll be me. I said, I'll give you the CD. So no rehearsal, no nothing. They did it. And at that time, we had a reel-to-reel tape recorder in the studio. And I was recording it. And I brought up the volume just a little bit to create a slapback echo. So what you hear was just a live performance that I added a little slapback echo as it was being recorded. And that wound up being on our Life After Dark CD that raised thousands of dollars for the Neediest Kids Fund.
Oh, every time they came in studio with us, it was so exciting because they would have just finished doing 2 or 3 hours of live performing, but they would come in ready to go.
And one of the reasons we did this is part of their shtick was when they were originally performing at Robert's Western World on Broadway in Nashville, they would keep a tip jar,
a fruit
in
jar,
front of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had a request, if they did it, you'd put some money in a fruit jar.
And I recall the very first time they joined us in studio, I brought a mason fruit jar in with us, and I set it on the console, and I had a handful of dollar bills, and as we would request a song, I'd put a dollar bill into the fruit jar to make them feel comfortable. They were so much fun to have in studio. Donnie, who we mentioned, who's been with Bob Dylan forever, Hawkshaw Hawkins, who was a fantastic drummer, Smilin' J. McDowell, Gary Bennett, Gary and Chuck Mead, founding members of BR549.
And Gary is still performing on his own. And they're all still friends. They've just gone on to other projects. As we mentioned, Donnie Heron is working with Bob Dylan now.
But their schedule was such that they finally just had to stop.
Yeah.
Because they wanted a life. Young guys, they wanted to be able to just stop and breathe. And they were internationally.
And they sold millions of records, award-winning, and they just...
Nominated for many Grammys.
Yeah. If you can find it, our Life After Dark CD is still available online.
Yeah.
And, you know, we still have some copies, too. We should think of a way to make them available.
We should, yeah.
Because on this CD, these were all live performances. Again, there was no rehearsal, no nothing. Mm-hmm. What you heard happened live in our studio.
We didn't even do a mic check.
No.
We would just say, okay, we're going to keep our fingers crossed and just...
Now, this was after they'd performed a couple songs, so I kind of knew where I needed to keep the volume controls. But
you engineered it, and that little bit of echo made all the difference in the world because it made it sound like it was right out of the 50s.
You know what? I'm going to real quick, let you hear just, or should I do that as a bump coming back?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were so fortunate. We had so many good, one of the last performances of Rick Danko, mm-hmm. of the band.
Of the band.
Literally about a week before we lost him.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the studio with us. Delbert McClinton.
Susan Tedeschi.
When nobody knew who the heck Susan was.
Yeah, yeah.
Rick Nelson's sons. Gunnar and Matthew.
A listener asked, though, BR 549, wasn't that from a TV show? Yes.
Yeah.
That was from, that was a funny bit from the Hee Haw mm-hmm. television show, which was wildly popular. You know, nowadays, if you go to YouTube and you look up Hee Haw, it just looks strange.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems so weird that that was actually on TV. But we got to remember when it was first on television and so very popular, we had things like the Beverly Hillbillies,
yep.
Green Acres, Andy Griffith. I mean, there was like this whole country thing mm-hmm. that was going on in television entertainment, and Junior Samples was just this goofy character from Hee Haw, mm-hmm. and he would do a commercial for a fake car lot, and the phone number to call them was BR549, and so they adopted that name and ran with it, and probably gave some attention to the television show too, yeah. as a result of that.
Well, we'll take a break, but when we come back, we'll let you hear one of the other things from the CD. Delbert McClinton, on a night when he had just finished performing
yeah.
at the House of Blues, he came over and he wasn't feeling really good, and he wasn't sure he could do anything. But he brought his harmonica, and well, we'll let you hear coming up after we take a break at WGN.
Since you've been gone, I've had time to myself. Haven't even tried to find somebody else. When you told me you were leaving, it almost came as good news. It may sound funny, but it's true. I think I'm better off with the blues. Now I must admit that I miss you sometimes. Not a day goes by that you don't cross my mind. But at the same time, I think of all the hell you put me through. It's the lesser of two evils. I think I'm better off with the blues. I know someday I wake up and these blues have begun. I forget about you and how everything went wrong. If you had stayed, I'd be dead in my tracks. Now I still love you, baby, but I don't want you back. Tonight I'm gonna go down to the sad side of town. Listen to him play the blues when the sun goes down, and I'll know just what to say when someone asks about you. Yeah, we had a good time, but I think I'm better off with the blues. Yeah, if I had to choose, I'd say I'm better off with the blues.
little bit of Delbert McClinton. And
good
again,
stuff.
That was also done live in the studio.
Good.
Delbert came over and he wasn't feeling wonderful.
But he sounded pretty wonderful. Gosh, I remember that was the night that we got points with our boss because she was so crazy about Delbert McClinton. We had him call her answering machine. And I think to this day, she still has the tape of him talking sweet talk to her on her answering machine, leaving her a message. And I always maintained that it got us brownie points because we had Delbert call the boss, Mary June Rose. By the way, I went to eBay to see if there were any copies of Life After Dark, our CD. And you can get a brand new copy for $25. Or if you'd like to get a used copy, there's one for $7.22. And then there's one for $4.93 with $4.63 shipping. So now you're talking about at least $10. $6, there's another one. There's one for $10.48, one for $10.49. How do they come up with these prices? And I would only buy from the people who spell my name correctly. All those people that spell it Putnam, don't buy from them. Because all you got to do is look at the CD, and right there on the front it says Steve King and Johnny Putman present Life After Dark with a terrific picture of the Tribune Tower when it was all lit up for the anniversary of the tower.
And that picture was taken by our friend Anthony Urias.
Yep.
And that was there was no Photoshop, no nothing on that picture. That's how the Tribune Tower looked.
Yep. He stood across the river so that he could shoot back over toward the tower. And again, if you'd like to get your hands on a copy until we can figure out how we might be able to give some of them away on the radio, you can go to eBay and look up Steve King and Johnny Putman present Life After Dark. And as Steve said, it's just a really interesting mix of people that all performed live in the studio and were engineered by you live in the studio, live on the fly.
If you saw me looking kind of strange,
yeah.
Because for some reason my headphones decided to give me just one side.
Well, that's
for
weird.
Some reason, and I have no idea why.
So that's like the third technical gotcha tonight.
Yeah.
Because you kind of need your headphones.
Yeah. Yeah. But
are they back? Are you okay?
Well, I managed to kind of pull the headphone.
Is that why you're sitting sideways?
Yeah,
your
that's
head
why
is
I'm
cocked
sitting sideways
the, yeah,
because
okay.
It's, if I plug it all the way in,
and you turn your head the other way, it goes away.
Yeah, and if I stand on one leg and
I hate when that happens. coming up after midnight, we will be talking cars because it's Tom Appel's night on the radio, and there's a lot to talk about.
Is there stuff to talk about.
And later on tonight, before we get out of here, I want to spend some time talking about a story. Not the end of the world, but I think it's a very big deal. The Southwest Airlines story.
Yeah.
Southwest Airlines.
So they're going to change their seating
procedures. I think it's been 50-something years that they've always had open seating, and now they've decided, because, let me tell you, because we have flown Southwest Airlines 8 times just this year. We've got a couple more flights coming up this year. We always fly Southwest Airlines. The reason they're changing their policy is because people have ruined a good thing. It's all because of you people who figured out a way to cheat. It's simple as that.
Oh, people get on and they will put somebody's piece of luggage in the middle seat.
You pay for one person to get advanced boarding, and then everybody gets on because you put your stuff on seats so that you could all sit together. We see that happen all the time. We see a little bit of friction when people say, where's this person? Is this seat saved? Oh, yeah. Oh, they're coming in. They were in line behind me.
Yeah.
No, I want to sit here. And go, oh no, I don't want to be in a thermos bottle and have people start fighting. I don't want to do that. And so Southwest said they're going to change their policy. And that really makes me sad because I hate the idea of things being slowed down because honestly,
and they will be slowed down.
It was faster when there was open seating.
Yep.
And you get on, you get what's available, you call 24 hours in advance, you try to get in the A group. If you don't plan ahead, you're in the C group. So what? You have to sit in the back of the plane in the middle seat. That's your fault. But that's all going to change.
Reminds me of a story that I just popped up in my Facebook feed this past week. It was a story about back in the day before Elvis had his own plane, mm-hmm. when he would fly commercial, and the flight attendants would usually find a way to get him on the plane first, but they would always sit him in the back of the plane. And one day he asked, he said, why are you putting me in the back of the plane? And they said, because that way you don't have to turn around when people want to talk to you, because everybody wants to talk to you.
Oh, so that was back in the days when people would get up and walk around.
Yeah.
Because nowadays that doesn't happen. Because remember the time we were on the plane and we had some jerk who decided that he wanted to talk to the people in front of us, so he took his big old butt. I mean, I could see the stitching on the back of his pants. It was right in my face while he's talking to the guy in front of him. And I'm like, really? Do I want to sit here for the next 2 hours and look at your big old butt? It was in my face. And because people would just kind of hang out, you know, move to the front of the plane, move to the back of the plane, move around. People, I'm really angry now. You've ruined a good thing.
Yeah.
And we have traveled with family members who've needed a wheelchair, legitimately needed a wheelchair. Yep. But I'm telling you here now that there are some people who are using a wheelchair as an excuse to get on the plane first. Because when you walk up to your gate and you see the wheelchairs all the way around the corner where they've lined them up. And Southwest is always so gracious about it because they always say, we have to push you down to the door. So if you've got 10 or 12 wheelchairs in our last flight.
Well, that was the case last time we flew out of Panama City Beach.
There were 12.
Literally, they were lined around the corner.
Yeah. And so that one person had to push each individual, yet they were still planned ahead so that we took off on time. But, yeah, come on. Again, ruin a good thing. It's all your fault.
Yeah.
I'm pointing to you because you're the one that said we're going to cheat and buy one advanced boarding. And
should we have a segment of the show that is just called Harangue? I mean, we started with haranguing about the people who are putting dogs and children on their laps while they're driving.
But haranguing sounds so bad. And you know, we're being constructive.
Okay, constructive criticism.
That comes across as a harangue.
Yeah.
Not meant that way.
And we have disconnected the harangometer.
That's right. We'll tell you more about that some other time. We'll be right back here on WGN. Manhattan while I'm listening to this. I'm sitting there tapping my toe. I'm wearing a great outfit and I'm drinking a Manhattan as I'm listening to the band.
And this is one of Tom's tunes. Tom being Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. And Tom, what is tonight's theme?
I really punted it this week. My wife said this was cheating, but I had a bunch of stuff I liked that I heard recently. So the theme is music I downloaded this month.
Okay.
All right, that works.
And that was, that jaunty little tune was.
I like that a lot.
I do too.
Yeah, that's the Parking Lot Blues. That's a Milt Jackson piece. Milt Jackson and the Monty Alexander Trio. Relatively recent compared to a lot of the stuff I share. 1977, off the album Soul Fusion.
Tom has made a quantum leap into the future.
That was a good tune, the Parking Lot Blues.
Yeah.
Well, why do I get the feeling tonight it's a good thing we're not in the same studio? You sound like you're a little...
Lovely.
I feel better than I sound, but it's been a rough, week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm getting better, and I was able to work. So, and my wife was out of town, so I could sleep whenever I wanted.
I hope you didn't come down with COVID, because that has been one of the news stories, that COVID has been on the increase again.
Yeah, it's sweeping through again, and we're not really talking about it as much this time.
Yeah, and there are even commercials that say, and now that COVID is behind us, and I'm screaming as I'm looking at my testing box, no, it's not. Oh, golly. Well, again, Tom Appel joins us twice a month. Guess what we have to start with, Tom?
A recall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This Toyota recall, this is a big, I mean, this defines big honking deal. What are we talking? Over 102,000 engines, not parts, engines. You want to explain this one to us?
Yeah, it's a big one. We talked a little bit about this, I think, 2 weeks ago, but the problem is that this engine, and this relatively new engine for Toyota, it's a 3.4-liter turbocharged V6 that basically replaces the old V8, the old reliable V8, in its big trucks and big SUVs. This new engine, which performs really well, I've driven it, I like it a lot. Unfortunately, a number of these engines were afflicted with an issue where there was metal shavings, metal scraps in the engine when they were sealed off and sent to consumers. And the problem is there have been some engine failures, but the bigger problem is that if your car is affected by this, you don't want a fix. You want a new engine because you don't know what damage has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And it could accumulate, it could happen at any time. So Toyota has finally, after kind of avoiding making a statement about this, has determined that they're going to replace all of these engines.
I guess one of my questions would be, because my pea-sized brain says, this isn't a design failure, this is a production failure.
Yeah.
So I'd kind of like to know, what has Toyota changed on their production line that will make these new, same-designed engines not have the production problems that the old engines did?
That's a very good question. I don't know the answer to that. And this is basically, these are basically all the vehicles that get this engine so far. Although it does show up in the Tundra, and they're not recalling that, so they must have the problem isolated, I suppose. But I don't know what they're doing differently.
I think the Lexus is included in this. Is Lexus LX is included in this?
The LS600 that replaced the LX570, and it shares an architecture with the big truck and with the Tundra, or the Sequoia. I'm sorry, but that's included too. It's the same engine, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And what would someone notice while they were driving that would indicate that they had this problem?
Like a knocking engine, or?
Yeah, any noise that engine makes that isn't normal is bad. The engine, the noise seems to be like some sort of squeak or rattle, and that's bad news. Obviously, if there's any sort of excessive oil usage, that's a problem too.
Or even if the vehicle doesn't start, I think that would be. I mean, if the engine is malfunctioning, it would give a kind of an idea. I read that Toyota finally, and the word "finally" was included in the story I read, finally admitted that there had been almost 1,000 warranty claims for people saying, "Excuse me, this shouldn't happen on my vehicle."
Yeah, I found a number someplace. Oh, here it is. This might be old. I had 824 complaints.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of complaints out of 100,000 vehicles, actually. 1% is a huge failure rate.
Yeah. Wow. So people would be notified that this is an official recall. And
but again, if they're notified today, how long is it going to be before their whole engine is replaced, and is it safe to drive the vehicle in the meantime?
Well, that's a great question, because you're not just ramping up, as you noted moments ago, Steve, you're not just ramping up production of a single part. You have to build 100,000 engines.
Wow.
And that's an expensive proposition, and it's time-consuming. And the other thing that's going to be time-consuming is installing these.
Mm-hmm.
A good mechanic with an assistant can probably do one a day. So it's going to take a while for dealerships to get these done as well.
I wouldn't be surprised if this one goes on for a year.
It could take a while. It's going to take a while for them to get extra engines out, because they're still building the vehicle with the new better engine. So they've got to come up somehow with extra engines, and that's going to take overtime. And even then, it'll take a while to build up that number.
Have they put a stop sale notification on any of the vehicles on their lots with those engines?
No one seems to be willing to confirm that, but my understanding is yes.
I also understand that if your car is affected, you will be receiving a registered letter from Toyota. And as far as how long does it take to replace it, I'm looking at an interview where they're claiming it could take as long as 21 hours. Now,
That's per engine.
Per engine. How devastating would it be for a server shop?
So multiply that by, just in the Chicago area, roughly how many Toyota Lexus dealerships in the immediate Chicago area, Tom?
I don't know. I would hazard a guess and say probably 20, 21, 22, something like that.
Okay, so let's go with 22. So if you've got 22 dealerships and the mechanics working for those dealerships, the time they're going to be taking to service to replace this engine.
Just say in a 40-hour work week, two engines a week.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
It's labor intensive, and dealers are going to have to do something to allocate people to this project.
Yeah.
And they're going to be moving those people from other things, and they're not going to want to hire just for this. So they're probably going to be passing along overtime to Toyota, which is going to make this even more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a biggie. As we say, we've had a theme this year with recalls being one of the things that we have to talk about, but yeah, eventually, if this affects you, you will get the letter. You will be told how to go about getting this addressed. I guess up until that time, if you start hearing a knocking or your car doesn't start, you probably just want to park it, right, Tom?
You do if you can, which is really inconvenient for a lot of people because they don't have spare cars. But the good news is if you don't park it, someone's going to replace your engine.
That's right. You'll get a brand new
one. The only problem is if you're driving it on the Kennedy and it seizes, and there you are stuck in, oh boy.
Yep. Absolutely. Tom, sit tight. We'll take a break. We'll come right back.
Or hang loose.
Talking Cars with Tom Appel here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
Another little behind the scenes. Can we just keep people out of the studio? Because we were sitting here shivering, and I said, my nose is so cold.
And literally, one of the thermostats in the studio was down to 63.
And
the other one was down to 65.
No, 55.
50, oh, 55. I thought it was...
55. That's what Bob Fakuda, the keeper of the big plug, wandered in here and he goes, it said at 55. No wonder I'm clenching and rubbing my hands together and my nose is running.
I'm blaming every problem on Bob Surratt.
No.
The microphone problems, the headphone problems, the temperature.
Problem.
It's all Bob's. Surratt's.
Well, you know who was here this morning? David Hochberg.
Oh.
Ah.
And he has a mess of people in the room and it gets hot, so he probably lowered it. Right, Julian?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I've got your sweet home, Chicago.
Okay, that little tune you just heard was one of Tom's tunes.
I'm liking the jams you brought in tonight, Tom.
Yes.
Who was this and what was this?
That was the Chet Baker Quartet. The tune was Long and Go, and it was off the album The Chet Baker Quartet featuring Russ Freeman on keys. And Russ Freeman is one of those great pianists that doesn't get enough attention. And I'm just sort of discovering him now, but he got around and did a lot of studio stuff. But people are always glad to get him on their pieces.
Hmm. You're an old soul. You know that?
I've been told that, yeah.
Have you?
You really do need to start doing a late-night jazz show.
That's right. Do your late-night podcast, only to be listened to after midnight.
This is Tom.
I currently have the voice for a jazz show. So.
Yes.
This is Tom with Tunes and Trucks.
Tunes and Trucks?
Yeah.
No, I don't like that.
Well, I was just trying to go with the automotive
theme.
No, that's
dumb.
All I have to say is...
Okay. Do we have any more recalls that are big news that we need to talk about? I think we do, don't we?
We have one that's a little disturbing. BMW just did a recall of about 1,000 vehicles, which is not a big deal, of 2012 to 2014 vehicles. But the problem is airbags that when they deploy, they explode and shoot metal everywhere.
Oh, no.
So this is exactly the Takata airbag situation. Going back further and being expanded.
Boy.
So the two press releases I read about this did not mention Takata, but it is exactly that same formula. So
our desire for this thing to go away may never be fulfilled.
Because this, I'm trying to think back to when we first heard about that. We were in the Tribune Tower when we first started talking about some of these airbag problems.
We had to have ours replaced on two vehicles.
Yeah.
And that was...
So when did this start, Tom? It was in... Was it 2000s or was it 90s?
It was the last century.
It didn't start in the 90s, but the reach of it has gone back pretty far, and there's a lot of questions about what liability there is and how far back this should go, because I think we're going to continue to go back further and further, and there's really no rules about this. So, and it's a problem, and these are safety devices that should work, and they more or less work in perpetuity. Airbags are relatively new things. They only go back to the 90s, and I think the expectation is that they work. You know, no matter how old the vehicle is at this point. So the Takata problem is that we never seem to fully appreciate or seem to understand how broad it is, and it keeps getting broader.
And Takata is no longer around, right?
Yeah, Takata went out of business pretty quickly, and what happened was that the manufacturers that were using Takata as a supplier all got together to underwrite the company so that they could build replacement parts. If Takata had gone under, they wouldn't have had a supplier for the replacement. So it's a sort of... I don't think any of it exists anymore. They've gotten other suppliers to build that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the time, wasn't GM one of the manufacturers that was kind of isolated from this because they didn't use Takata airbags?
Yeah, GM skirted on this one, and I think Ford was touched pretty significantly. But Japanese makers, Honda and Toyota, got burned. I think Honda especially got burned pretty bad.
I want to sneak one final recall in for this segment of the show because I know we have many listeners driving Maseratis.
Yeah.
Well, now, come on. If you were driving a Maserati, you probably would be really ticked off if you found out there was a recall. They're recalling 1,092 units of the MC20 Coupe and convertible because of the tire placard labels with incorrect vehicle capacity weight values were posted on the vehicles. That seems like a dumb thing, doesn't it?
It's exactly the kind of thing you'd expect from Maserati.
And they're doing a recall for that?
It's just a sticker that was misprinted.
Yeah.
A typo has become...
But if you put too much air in your tire, you could end up with a blowout, and you did it because it said that on the sticker on your...
But why couldn't they just say, instead of the recall, why couldn't they send out a mailer saying, okay, here's the new sticker. Put this over the new sticker. Problem solved. Have a nice day.
That's a good question, because my wife and I used to own a 2002 or 2001 Volvo S60, mid-size sedan, nice car. And there was a recall having to do with the child safety seat something. I can't remember what it was, but we were mailed, just in the U.S. mail, a weird little bracket that we were supposed to install, and that fixed everything.
Wow.
So they were letting us do that ourselves.
So it's,
wow.
Okay, recall, here's the part. Have a nice day.
Your engine will be FedEx to you, so hang in there.
The were Tom Simple, so...
Yeah, Tom Simple, I like that. But you said something at the outset when I said, did this Maserati a recall? You said that's so Maserati? Is there like a rep?
Maserati, not the most reliable brand in the world. And people who were paying attention in the 80s, the Maserati B-Turbo, B-I Turbo, was known for bursting into flames.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, it was like apparently a joy to drive and beloved by the big, you know, the big three car magazines at the time, but the fire was a problem.
I'm sorry. You've just made the classic understatement. The car blows up. That's a problem.
Bursting into flames can ruin my day. Yeah. Good grief.
Wow. I just learned something tonight. Okay. What have you been driving lately, Tom?
Well, I've been driving so much interesting stuff, but one of the ones that I've been dying to drive, and people have probably seen these because they look so strange, you notice them, strange is the wrong word, but maybe shocking, is the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, and this is Hyundai's midsize crossover that slots below
the Telluride, I'm sorry, the Palisade, but it also now has a third row. So they have like a bigger and or a big and a bigger going on in their midsize crossovers. But dramatic styling that looks very Range Rover, very slab-sided, very mechanical, almost looks like something that could have starred in RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been making them with really dramatic colors, too. There's a color out there called Earthy Brass Matte. That's what? Catching people's attention. But here's the good news. Not only is this vehicle shocking to look at, it's shockingly good to drive. This is a wonderful replacement for the old Santa Fe. It's a little bit roomier now, but it rides and handles well. The interior is beautiful. I mean, everything about it is really what a shopper might want. But there is a piece of bad news. They know it's better, and they are charging a lot more money for it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at this, and you can go to consumerblog.consumerguide.com and look at the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe calligraphy review, and you will see some of the pictures. It's a really nice-looking vehicle.
I love the name calligraphy, too. That's nice.
Yeah, they've been using it at Hyundai for their top trim levels, and I think it's a In an industry where every name has been picked,
mm-hmm.
it's always nice when a manufacturer can find something unencumbered and employ it.
Yeah.
Calligraphy is just a great word.
It is. You're right. Tom, we're going to take a break for the news. We'll come back. We're talking cars, as we do with Tom Appel, twice a month right here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. That's one of Tom's tunes. I have a soft spot in my heart for that song. That's Night in Tunisia.
Was that the song that you performed?
Yeah. That was, and I've told the story before, so I'll make it quick. Back in the days of my rock and roll youth, I was also with a jazz band, and we were in a contest. There was a Downbeat magazine contest, and it was a Midwest contest, and we won it, and we wound up being on Channel 11.
You did Night in Tunisia.
We did Night in Tunisia, and
wow.
It was, I played guitar, it was drums, stand-up bass, vibes.
Ooh.
And
find
and,
a kid playing
guitar.
Vibes. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was John Obinar.
On vibes.
Who was he was a classmate of mine at South Shore High School. So this would have been roughly 19...
Oh, you guys got your picture in the paper,
late 50s.
Too.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And we were on Channel 11 back when they were broadcasting from the Museum of Science and Industry. And we wound up doing some concerts with Franz Jackson's All-Stars. Yeah.
Hmm.
And somewhere... there is a reel-to-reel tape that my dad recorded the audio
from television
of the Channel 11 appearance.
Wow. See what you did, Tom? Playing Night in Tunisia, little tune that you downloaded this month. And
But we won the jazz contest mostly because we were the only group that actually did a jazz song. Everybody else was doing blues or rock or something like that, and there we were with Night in Tunisia. And it was a very similar drum riff that we started off with in a similar tempo.
That's funny. And, so that's why you were playing air guitar during Tunisia.
I still remember the chords. and for a rock and roller at that point to do Night in Tunisia, it was a stretch for me, but yeah. I enjoyed it.
So that was one of Tom's tunes. Music that Tom has downloaded this month, right, Tom?
And that version was who, Tom?
That's Don Bias, saxophonist who doesn't get enough coverage. He's long gone, unfortunately, but his work has not made the transition to digital media. There's only like two CDs out there. Lots and lots and lots of LPs, though, if someone wants to dig into it. But that's from an album called A Night in Tunisia back in 1963.
And for people who wonder, well, Tom talks cars, so why the music? Because this is some of the music that you test out the sound systems in your cars with, right?
Oh, yeah. I love to. It's a great test. Quietness, like highway quietness, you can tell not only how quiet a car is by just listening to it, but what interrupts music or conversation as well. Mm. And also, that's just a great excuse for me to spend a lot of money on music.
Okay. We were talking about some of the cars that you've driven recently, and you mentioned the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe calligraphy. And what else have you been behind the wheel that you like?
These reviews are up now, and these are interesting cars because they are not long for this world. I drove a pair of sedans recently, both high-performance sedans, both very interesting, and just no one is selling sedans anymore, unfortunately, and the sales of these vehicles keep slipping. But I drove both a Subaru WRX, which is their high-performance little sedan, and then the Lexus IS500, which is a Lexus little sedan packed full of V8 power. They're both delightful cars.
I remember the last time we drove one of the Subaru WRXs.
We loved it.
That's a Spitfire.
Mm-hmm. Tom,
yeah, it's great because it's turbocharged, and unbelievably, the car I got delivered still available with a manual transmission.
Whoa!
You can ring out that engine, and I did. It was a joy, an absolute joy to drive.
I'm going to hold you on sedan. Uh-huh. The definition of sedan is four doors, right?
Yes.
Versus a coupe that's two doors.
Uh-huh. Yep.
There's a television commercial running for a coupe, and we stopped the commercial to look at it closely, and it's very, or are they selling it as a sedan, and it's only got two doors?
Is it the... I think it was the Genesis GV80 coupe.
Oh, it was, yes. The GV80 coupe.
Because the GV80 has been very successful for Genesis, and that is a sport ute. But now they've come out with this GV80 coupe, which has similar styling to the GV80, but it has four doors, and four doors, to my mind, is not a coupe.
So is it like the word sedan is a bad thing?
No, the problem is that manufacturers are looking for more variety in their lineups, but crossovers are crossovers. So you can really do crossovers in different sizes, but there's not a lot you can do with them otherwise. And this is sort of pioneered by Acura way back when they did a version of their MDX called the ZDX, and it was this fastback, kind of shark-looking coupe, I think they used the word coupe version, even though it retained its four doors, of the MDX. And we're seeing that Porsche does this with the Cayenne. Genesis is now doing this with the GV80. And BMW has been doing this for a while now with versions of the X3 and the X5, called the X4 and the X6, that are fastback sloped. And the interesting things about these coupe versions is that they charge like $5,000 or $10,000 extra for them.
Oh, because we actually stopped the commercial to count the doors on the vehicle. And I said to Steve, I wonder if this is a lot like back in the day when they didn't want you to use the word minivan. Remember? Yeah. Minivan was, ooh.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's a negative thing. And I said, could it be that sedans are so unpopular they don't even want to call one when it, you know, if it walks like a duck.
I was just going to say, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck,
it's a duck.
A bunch of auto writers wrote pieces about this and how a coupe should retain a coupe. But ultimately, I think they just lost the energy to fight. We just now have crossovers that are called coupes, and we're just going to deal with it. Even though crossovers shouldn't be coupes because they're crossovers, and coupes shouldn't have four doors, but what are you going to do?
Oh, that's great. Can we take a couple of questions that have come in at 312-981-7200? Listener wants to know, will you clarify, with a Toyota engine recall, are there years that have been specified?
Basically, all of them since the redesign. So the car was redesigned for 23, so it's 23 and 24.
Mm, okay. Another listener says, we were talking about if it takes as much as 21 hours to replace an engine. This listener says, the problem is if Toyota has two dedicated guys in each shop changing engines, that means they can't do your brakes or scheduled maintenance.
Yep, right.
Toyota used to be a model of dependability. Can you ask Tom what happened? Now, the flip side, let me just say real quickly, the flip side of that is the comment from the listener that says, look, for all these years, they've been flawless. If they screw up once, I'm going to forgive them.
Yeah, there was that weird thing where they fought back a little bit in the media where there was that oil sludging problem. This was probably 20 years ago in a bunch of engines. I think it was primarily their 3-liter V6 at the time.
And that was a problem, and they didn't handle it very well in the media, and it took them a long time to start to fix stuff. And I think in a lot of cases, it was never actually a full recall, just sort of a secret recall. So that's a problem. But Toyota's still, you know, I drive these cars new, and they still seem like bank vaults. They seem really well put together, and I think their longevity is still a thing. So hopefully this is a speed bump and not a continuing problem.
Tom, we're going to take a quick break, but I'm going to give you a question from 708 area code for you to think about. We'll come back. The okay. listener says, what's the major difference between a Honda and a Toyota? I'm looking for a new Camry or Corolla, and there have been lots on the lots. There have been none on the lots. Excuse me, none on the lots. The used cars are as much as the new ones. It looks like there is a better inventory with Hondas. Are Honda hybrids as reputable as Toyota? Never had one, but I'm kind of considering a change. What could you tell me? So we'll take a break and come back, and maybe you can tackle a bit of that for our 708 area code listener here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Another one of Tom's tunes. And Tom, this is Who and What?
That is Wes Montgomery off his album Full House. The song was Kariba, with a guest appearance by Wynton Kelly on the piano.
And you have to say it, Kariba.
Kariba.
And the frustrating thing to me was you hardly ever get to hear Wes Montgomery on that one, other than he's playing along with the piano player in the intro, but you don't hear him really solo. You hear the bass, you hear the piano, and I keep waiting for, okay, let me get a little bit of Wes.
You know, I hadn't thought of that. That makes this a bad bumper choice.
Bad bumper choice.
Before we get back to questions from our audience, I have to ask you, this isn't a silly question to ask, and I may have asked you this before. Have you ever seen the movie That Thing You Do?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Because Wes Montgomery makes me think of that movie. It's basically rock and roll music, you know, a little band from the 60s. They're going to make it big, but the drummer is a jazz fanatic.
Yeah.
And there's a great couple of scenes where he gets to play with some of the jazz greats that he idolizes. And I think you'd get a kick out of it. Tom Hanks is
especially near the end of the movie. It is a wonderful movie.
It was Tom Hanks' baby. He saw to it that the movie was made. It was like a dream movie for
him. And
that
was why Tom Hanks came up with his own record label, Playtone Records.
Yeah. Yeah. Look it up sometime, Tom, because I think you'll really enjoy it. Yeah.
I remember it's about a band called The Wonders.
Yes.
Or the Oneaters.
My buddy Dave loves it.
I love it, The Oneaters, because that's the one-hit wonders are The Oneaters.
That's because one of the disc jockeys mispronounced their name.
It's such a good movie. We got to watch it again. Okay, a listener asks, this is from 708, what's the major difference between a Honda and a Toyota? We don't have all night, so what would you say is a thumbnail difference between Honda and Toyota? Looking for a new Camry or Corolla? There have been none on the lots. The used cars are just as much as the new ones. It looks like there's a better inventory with Hondas. Are Honda hybrids as reputable as Toyota? Never had one, but I'm considering a change. Thanks.
Yeah, I think the primary difference between Honda and Toyota, and they're very similar in terms of price and reliability and things like that, build quality, but Hondas are generally sportier. You get more road feel, slightly better handling, and maybe you get a little less quietness. But Toyotas, you know, they're a little bit more sedate, but they ride better, and they might be a little bit quieter. I think that's the primary, especially if you're doing Camry to Accord, and I think that also works for Civic to Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those are very definitely the differences there.
Okay, and what about the business of the hybrid, a Honda hybrid? Is it as reputable as Toyota? And let me tie that in with a text from Deanna, who said that at the auto show, she asked the Honda people about hybrids, and they told her that they weren't making hybrids anymore. Is that true?
No.
Well, she says they should be fired then, because that's what they told me.
Honda's a little light on hybrids right now, but there's certainly a hybrid version of the CR-V, which is their compact crossover.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding. And then they killed the Honda Insight, which was a Civic-sized car that was specifically a hybrid. And I think that that was supposed to be a Prius, you know, analog. Mm-hmm. But the good news is that next year, for 2025, there's going to be a hybrid version of the Civic, and I think that that's going to be very good.
Oh, yeah.
Tom, would you agree that if they're looking for a Camry or a Corolla, they might also want to take a look at the Hyundai Sonata?
Sonata is good. And then there's the Kia K5, which is mechanically similar.
Yeah.
Hyundai and Kia are related companies. Those are both fine vehicles. I find that their hybrid systems are not quite as smooth and sophisticated as the Toyota systems, but they're very good cars. They're competitively priced, and they often have really beautiful interiors.
Yeah.
On the subject of hybrids, a listener says, I have a single-car garage. We're looking for a medium hybrid SUV. Ideally, an ample three-person bench seat. Boy, I guess that's hard to find, isn't it, Tom?
There is no front bench seat for any compact crossover in the U.S. these days, or a midsize.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're not going to find that. They're all five-passenger unless you add a third row. Or if they have captain chairs, then they go down to four-passenger.
Is there anything that you can think of that would be deemed like a narrow hybrid SUV for a single-car garage?
I believe, I'd have to check this, but I believe that the CR-V, the Honda CR-V, would be a little bit narrower than the Toyota RAV4. The RAV4 is just a little bit bigger.
And you can also Google those, and you can get the specs. You can see, because we had
to... You can go to their websites, and they will give you the dimensions.
Because we were car shopping, and we had to do that for the length of vehicles, because after road testing cars for over the years, there were many cars that would not fit in our garage. So he said, we got to, you know, look at the numbers before we go out shopping.
And a lot of times, it's really important to do that, because don't be fooled by styling. Styling will make a vehicle look longer or wider when, in fact, the dimensions may indicate just the opposite of what it looks like.
Yeah, and Google is super good with car specs. So if you just type in overall length or overall width, comma, and then do RAV4, CR-V, whatever else you want to do, Mazda CX-5, you'll get those specs right away.
Absolutely. We were talking Maserati earlier, and an 872 area code said Maserati, speaking about Maserati, rumor has it that Stellantis might do away with them and Chrysler. Any truth to this, Tom?
That's a great question. When Fiat Chrysler became Stellantis with the merger with Peugeot Citroën, one of the things that they said was they were going to give each division, and there are 14 total divisions of that whole company of Stellantis retail brands, they were going to give them time to sort out what they're doing and to generate a profit. But we have brands with almost no sales anymore, and it was announced recently that two brands have to go. And I don't think we know that those are U.S. brands, but I think that Maserati doesn't do a lot of business in the U.S., neither does Alfa Romeo. But Chrysler is interesting because the only vehicle Chrysler sells right now is a Pacifica minivan. That's it. And Dodge is a little light on product, but they are developing new electric and gasoline sports cars for Dodge. So I think Chrysler is the one that's on the bubble.
Hmm. And what a shame if, in fact, that's
such a
true.
Great legacy brand.
And Jeep seems to be doing pretty well, though, don't they?
Jeep is having a terrible year.
Really?
Yeah, Jeep killed a bunch of product at the bottom end, the Renegade, the Compass, and the Cherokee. The Cherokee is supposed to be coming back, but those vehicles were not doing a lot of good for them because they were based on European front-wheel drive architecture, and they weren't true Jeep products. So they've lost a lot of volume there. They're going to, I think, play that game better when things come back, but sales are down at Jeep, and what's worse is that the battle between Jeep with the Wrangler and Ford with the Bronco seems to have hurt both companies. And Jeep Wrangler sales are falling, and those were super profitable.
Oh, boy.
I'd hate to see the minivan go away.
If Chrysler goes away, they'll move it to Dodge.
Oh, good. because
there's enough volume there. I think that still does 120, 130,000 units. It's a big enough seller, and there's a commercial version of that that we never talk about called the Voyager. It's only available for fleets, but that does volume too. So they won't kill the van itself.
And isn't the Voyager still an older design?
Not anymore. It was for a very long time, Steve. You're right. They recently brought it up to it's basically the same car as the Pacifica, but it has a less expensive interior, different grill insert, and things like that, and cheaper wheels, cheaper smaller wheels. If you see one, you don't even know you saw it because it looks more or less like a Pacifica.
That's the ad right there. If you see one, you won't even know you saw it. Speaking of ads, you did a funny piece on the rear, the ads on the rear end of cars. Did I see that?
I found it. Apparently, there's just plenty of old advertisements that featured the rear end of cars, and that started in the tail fin era. But I found a lot of good ads, and it gave me an excuse to just sit there and play on the computer and look for ads for a day.
Didn't you do that the last time with clowns and ads?
Yeah, that one was harder to find. It's hard to find a lot of ads with clowns in them. But
I'm sorry. I couldn't even look at that one because I just thought that was too weird.
It gets pretty weird.
Yeah.
I think that somehow they would make it less weird because it's a car ad. But no, some of those ads are truly weird.
Oh, that's funny. Well, where can people find all this good stuff that you have posted?
Speaking of truly weird.
Yes.
Yeah, check us out at consumerguide.com. All the stuff we talked about is on the blog. So if you go to consumerguide.com and just hit blog, you'll get that right there. And then on our next podcast, we have Don Sikora, who is the new editor-in-chief of Collectible Automobile, coming on the show. And he's going to be talking about stuff in the August issue of CA.
We're going to have to get him on the show.
Yeah, we have to, because we just got our latest issue of Collectible Automobile.
We did.
So let's talk to him soon.
Yeah.
I will connect you guys.
Thank you. And we will connect again. Can you believe it? It will be August. Yikes.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Well, feel better.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a million.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too. That's Tom Appel.
More coming up on WGN.
I want to go home and watch the movie.
Yeah.
Because remember, we saw that movie at Old Orchard and went immediately.
And bought the soundtrack.
We did. We went to Borders and bought the soundtrack so we could play it on our Sunday night show.
If you haven't seen that movie, you should
have you,
Julian? Seek it out.
I've never even heard of it.
No.
Okay. You need to put
your
that
assignment
on your must-watch list.
I was looking it up while you told me about it.
Yeah.
It was Tom Hanks' directorial debut, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and it was genuinely his baby. This was the movie that he always wanted to make. And he'd done Forrest Gump, so, you know, he had the clout to say, I want to make this movie about this little band from the 60s.
It's kind of a one-hit wonder band from the 60s, the story of their formation and success, and then I'm not really giving anything. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, spoiler alert. The band kind of dissolves, but you see what happened to them.
And there's a sweet little love story with Liv Tyler.
Yep, Steven Tyler's daughter.
Yeah, she's really, the whole cast is just terrific, and Tom Hanks is great in it.
And one of the cool things about it, Tom replicates authentically the sound of 60s music. It's not like he's doing a lampoon of it. Every track on that album sounds like it could have been recorded in the 60s. It's really, really good stuff.
And, Julian, you've been with us long enough to know that sometimes we will ask performers, what was it like the first time you heard your song on the radio?
Mm-hmm.
And this was a bigger deal back in the day when there was more music radio, unless you're talking about listening to satellite radio, for example.
Yeah.
But it's really fun to get these stories from people to say, you know, there I was with my mom, and we're coming from dinner, and I turn on the radio, and whoa, that's me. And he captures that moment in the movie where it's so cool because he gets it. So we had the good fortune of interviewing Tom Hanks after the movie. And that's when he told us all about how it was like a baby of his. And if it didn't go anyplace, he was okay with it. He just wanted to.
And that was a fun night because he was excited to be on WGN. And that same night, we were interviewing Duane Eddy. And he was a fan of Duane Eddy.
Big fan, because he had been included in the Forrest Gump movie.
And Duane was telling us that his song Rebel Rouser was in Forrest Gump. There's the scene where Forrest is running and the Rebel Rouser starts playing. Duane was sitting in the theater with his grandson, didn't know his song was going to be in the movie. And then his grandson yells out, "That's my grandpa!"
So, yeah, that was a great night.
It was just really cool.
It was a really cool night, too, because we said, do you guys want to talk to each other? And Tom Hanks says, no, I would be too nervous to talk to Duane Eddy, which blew me away. Tom Hanks would be too nervous to talk to anybody, which I thought was pretty amazing.
But it's a wonderful movie.
It is, yeah. So, that's on. Did you ever see Rear Window?
I did.
You did. Good.
And, okay, let's back up.
Yes.
Rear Window, classic Alfred Hitchcock.
So often.
James Stewart.
We're standing Grace here Kelly. In the studio, and we look across, and Julian will have his camera with the long lens, and I'll say, Julian, so this reminds me of Rear Window. And then it popped up on TCM, and I sent him a message, and I said, record it. You've got to watch it. What did you think?
So what'd you think?
I love, as a photographer, I love those kinds of things.
Yeah. And there he is, confined to his home. So now you get it. When we think about, here we are in the studio, if we look into a window and we see like a murder, what do we do? Right? That's what I always think of when I'm looking over there at these windows. I think, I don't want to see anything. I don't do anything weird, because then I'll have to act on it.
It kind of reminds me, there was a movie in the early 2000s with Shia LaBeouf called Disturbia.
Yes. Yeah.
Reminded me of that.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I almost think it was a nod to Rear Window.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And bit of minutia. In Rear Window, when Jimmy Stewart is looking out and you see that yard and you see all of the different apartments, and one of the apartments, this would be as Stewart is looking to the right, in that apartment, and I forget exactly what they're doing, but it's Ross Bagdasarian. Ross Bagdasarian went on to become known as David Seville, the guy who created the Chipmunks, Alvin and the Chipmunks. And he has a bit part in Rear Window.
This will get you nothing in life unless you go to a bar and do trivia. It might come in handy then. But otherwise, this is like useless.
But see, now you've learned something. My work here is done.
I've learned so much in the last year or so.
Oh, well, I'm glad you watched Rear Window, though, because every time I see you holding the camera, I flash to Jimmy Stewart sitting in the chair with his leg in a cast, and he's holding the camera, and it's a terrific movie.
And now I'm going to add that thing you do to my list.
Good, good. Report back
you
next
really
week.
You really need to see that.
That's my homework.
We will expect a report.
It's on Hulu.
Just as we need to see Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
Just don't take your kids.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. So that we wouldn't want to take Joseph to that.
Give him a decade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Wait a decade.
Yeah, he'd probably say, Gigi, I've seen it all. Not a big deal. Wouldn't surprise me. Kids say the darndest things. Gosh, that could be a TV show.
Yeah. Well, you had an interesting, speaking of kids say the darndest things, tell me if I should go here, but I'm going here. The conversation you had with Joseph about duck eggs.
Oh, so we were feeding the ducks that expensive duck food. I'm not kidding you. Like $35 for a bag of duck food, right? But they knew, as I said earlier, they now know it's us, because when we shake that plastic bag, they know it's the good stuff coming. So we're standing there, we're looking, there's some baby ducks, and he says, gosh, I wish I could have a baby duck. And I said, well, it won't stay a baby forever. I said, but we know people that have ducks. They raise them for the eggs. And he looks at me and he goes, they don't eat them, do they? And I said, Yeah, and I'm doing that quick thing in my head, like, where do I go with this?
Yeah, where is this conversation going?
But aren't there baby ducks in those eggs? Not all of the eggs. Well, how do they know? Oh, no, what do I say?
But Joseph was asking very logical questions.
And I said, well, duck eggs are very tasty, and they have a machine where they can look in the egg to see if there's a baby.
Nice save.
And he says, to quote him, I'll never eat a duck egg. I thought, I may never eat another duck egg either, because we have a friend in Florida who says, oh, when you're ready to bake, tell me, I'll give you some of my duck eggs. Mm-hmm. Well, now all I'll see is a cute little fuzzy duck that he wanted to take home with him. But that's really funny when you're talking to a child and they ask you questions and you're doing that quick little thing in your head like, okay, where do I go? Why do I?
Gigi is thinking quick.
Yes, yes. They have a machine. That's all I can think of. I was thinking of the Museum of Science and Industry is really where my head went. And I think I told him, you know, like an incubator. Yeah. He's like, yeah, okay. I don't know what that is.
Speaking of Museum of Science and Industry, they have a James Bond exhibit.
Excuse me, that's the Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
The Griffin.
And I know this Griffin person donated like billions of dollars, so and that's why it's now the Griffin Museum of Science and Industry, but it's the Museum of Science and Industry.
Well, we saw an ad for this James Bond show exhibit.
It looks really cool. They've got some of the things that were used in James Bond movies.
And I think you can go into a laboratory that looks just like
M's
laboratory. And it's got to be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Because you have to pay extra to see it when you go to the museum.
But we're talking about that too. And back in the day, I can remember going to the Museum of Science and Industry when you didn't have to pay to get into the Museum of Science and Industry.
Boy, has
that changed.
No, I think we were probably getting in as students. I think because there is a free day now, and I knew they have some breaks for students. But I think when we were going to the museum and it was free, it was because we were going with a class.
Well, the only thing, as a mini person, the only thing I recall having to pay for was the coal mine. And you did have to get tickets for the coal mine, and there was a wait for the coal mine. But
I think you still do have to do that. And
you need tickets for everything.
Isn't there a Zephyr exhibit? You have to pay extra for the Zephyr exhibit. Yeah. I think I did the math where I said if you went and spent the whole day and you were taking a couple of kids with you, you're talking about a whole lot of money if you wanted to see all of these different exhibits. Mm-hmm. They do have some special pricing, and I think they have some evening hours when you can come in and see the James Bond display, too, because I think it's probably skewing an older audience, and I don't blame them for bringing that kind of stuff in. They've got the space, but I'll tell you, if you Google Museum of Science and Industry, you're going to be like me. You're going to, well, where's the Museum of Science and Industry? Because everything that was coming up was the Griffin, and it's taken a little time to get used to that.
I'm not sure that I will.
It's kind of like the Hancock Building in the Sears Tower and like and Lakeshore Drive. And it's like, I don't know. I'm not.
Well, and I love some of the memes we're seeing on Facebook. It's spelled W-I-L-I-S. It's pronounced Sears.
Yeah, that's right.
More coming up. Stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. Now, you can wonder, why are we playing that? Well, that popped into my head earlier this week when Patrick and I were watching the ceremonies over in France this week.
The opening ceremony.
The opening ceremonies for the Olympics. And at the very end of the ceremony, there was that wonderful moment where, as a surprise, Celine Dion appears. And anybody who follows her knows she's been dealing with some pretty serious health problems.
Oh, yeah.
But she appeared, she sang, she looked wonderful, she sounded wonderful. Yeah,
unreal.
And some people are speculating, was that AI? No, it wasn't AI. That was Celine Dion. Now, do I know for a fact if she was singing live or lip-syncing? I don't know, but it appeared as if she was singing live, and I was watching her mouth very mm-hmm. carefully, and it didn't look like she was lip-syncing.
There was not a dry eye while she was singing.
But the song sounded familiar to me, and I said, "Boy, I know that melody," and did a little bit of research, and I said, that song I know was a hit back in the 50s.
And the song that she was singing in French was Hymn à l'amour,
which was originally done by Edith Piaf.
Yes.
Years ago.
And it was a hit song. Mm-hmm. And
then it was Americanized and made a hit in the 50s by K-Star.
So you recommended, you recognized the melody.
Yeah.
Because that sent us off on this Google search, because when I put in Celine Dion at the Olympics, everybody was talking about the song that she sang, the Hymn of Love.
Right.
And then I said, who performed it? And lo and behold, sure enough, it was a hit song.
For K-Star back in the 50s. If
yeah.
you love me, really love me.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't a dry eye, because we haven't watched the documentary on Celine Dion. To be honest with you, I was told by people who watch it, it's really hard to watch because it's so yeah. sad, because she's dealing with stiff person syndrome. And
basically, it's kind of a hardening of your body.
Yeah. And when we saw her on the award show, when she came out with her son, it looked so uncomfortable. And everybody was saying, well, you know, you can't hug her but she looked fantastic at the Olympics.
And we saw some video of her after the performance, and she appeared to be moving on her own. She didn't have anyone who was helping
her. Son wasn't walking her.
Yeah.
She wasn't walking with the cane or anything.
Now, we can presume that she was taking some kind of medication to allow her to do that performance.
And the weather was dreadful. I mean, the rain. And the disease also, as I understand it, affects her vocal cords. So that's mm-hmm. really one of the reasons why there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Not only was it a fabulous performance, whether or not you like her, you had to appreciate what she
wonderful.
Did. It was wonderful.
It was truly wonderful.
A couple of times. She's never been one of my favorite singers. I was a little put off, and I didn't watch it live as you did, but Kelly Clarkson was one of the hosts of
along with Mike...
Peyton Manning. She was with Peyton Manning and Michael Strahan. The guys, the people from NBC.
Yeah, the NBC Hoda, sports announcer.
Yeah.
I can't think of his last name.
But Peyton Manning was with her, Kelly Clarkson. They were the ones that everybody was advertising. And here Kelly Clarkson is this amazing singer. And after Celine Dion sings the piece that I saw, they turn to Kelly Clarkson and she says, "I have no words." What? Talk. This is what you're supposed to do.
They were trying to talk to her, and she was teared up.
She was
very emotional.
Yeah, I know, but I have a feeling that somebody at NBC is, wait a minute, we paid her to talk, and now she can't talk. What? Because if you go to Peyton Manning for his opinion on Celine Dion singing, it's not the same as a Kelly Clarkson and her opinion, but it was really beautiful.
And if you haven't seen it, seek it out on YouTube.
Yeah.
There's some YouTube videos of it. It's wonderful.
Absolutely, because a lot of people are, I've never really been a huge Olympics fan, but I did like the build up to this one being mm-hmm. in France, and to see how they were going to deal with it, and you know, these amazing things that they have going on, including the fact that they've got Snoop Dogg, who's going to be popping up throughout the Olympics.
Okay.
And my favorite meme so far is Snoop Dogg has become the Betty White of today. Let that sink
in.
Yeah,
let that sink in for a while.
Snoop Dogg is now the Betty White of this mm-hmm. generation, I guess. We'll take a quick break and come right back here on WGN.
Steve Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and this is A Dealer's Choice from Julian. It sounds vaguely familiar to me.
Who is it?
Did I stump Steve King?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's... I should know this, because I think it was kind of a live jam thing.
This is John Mayall.
Oh, okay. Who sadly just passed away.
Yeah, but I didn't realize his age.
He was... Wasn't he in his 90s? Yeah. He was really... one of the fathers of the British blues movement.
Yeah. I told you when we heard about his passing, I saw him at Old Chicago, which was, when I think back about that, it was so surreal because I remember thinking, dang, he's a healthy man because he was wearing a tank top and he was like all muscles. I was there with a bunch of girls, and we were like, "Woo wee!"
And for those of you who are too young to remember, Old Chicago was in Bolingbrook. It was an indoor amusement park.
It was just weird.
If you ever see the movie, I think it was called The Fury,
the roller coaster.
Yeah. With Kirk Douglas. I believe. Is it Kirk Douglas or who am I thinking of?
Somebody will shout out.
But a lot of that movie was filmed indoor at Old Chicago Amusement Park.
Does it mean anything to you, Julian, Old Chicago?
I'm familiar with the movie, but I've never heard of it outside of that.
Can you imagine an amusement park where there's actually a roller coaster indoors?
I live by one, Safariland.
Oh, okay. And I guess if you go to Disney, the big one, the big roller coaster, that's inside, isn't it?
Space Mountain?
Space Mountain.
Yeah.
But it just seemed, it was spooky at Old Chicago. It was really weird.
It was a combination amusement park and shopping center. And it was in this huge structure that had kind of a big dome. And it was right off of 55 in Bolingbrook.
With a cornfield right across the street.
Yeah, literally.
And didn't they eventually turn it into like an auto mall?
Yes.
So it closed.
Now this was...
it closed in 1980.
Yeah, because when I was out there, I moved out to Bolingbrook in 1978 and lived there through roughly 82. Two-ish.
And I moved to Aurora in 77, and I was there until 82-ish, and
And I think when I was at the once big 89, I wound up doing a muscular dystrophy telethon from Old Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember that, And wasn't it billed as, I think they used to claim to be the only indoor amusement park in the country.
Right. At that time.
And it was supposed to draw people from around the world because it didn't matter what the weather was. It could be a blizzard and you could still ride a roller coaster and it was something for the whole family.
And it was a really interesting idea that it's like they got it about 75% to the finish line and never completely finished it and it sort of fell off from there. I saw Three Dog Night there.
I saw...
Dottie West.
I saw Dottie West there, too. Three Dog Night at Old Chicago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right place at the right time.
Dr. John.
Dr. John, yes.
Yeah.
I saw him there. Got glitter all over me because he shot glitter out in the audience, and I was right there in the front, and I was like, I hate glitter. I love you, John, but I hate glitter. And it was really weird because when you saw a concert there, you were kind of close to the act, too.
Yep.
And to answer your question, it was The Fury, 1978. It was The Fury filmed at Old Chicago Amusement Park. And it was that scary scene where the devil kid is on the roller coaster.
And he's causing some of the cars on the roller coaster to fly off. And I want to say Kirk Douglas, but I'm not sure I'm right on that.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, the building was also used in Batman Begins in 2004 and in The Dark Knight in 2007. It is seen from above in the opening credits of Candyman.
Candyman.
Scariest movie
Julian,
ever.
Julian, have you ever seen
Candyman?
Not the redone. The original Candyman.
That's one of my favorites.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
True story.
Oh, my gosh.
Johnny and I.
Oh,
Florida,
golly.
Watching Candyman in our living room. Watching it. And at one point, Johnny needed to take a break.
Literally, our house is four rooms, but I wouldn't go anywhere.
She insisted that I go with her. The movie was so... the first time we saw it, it was so scary. That's a wonderfully scary movie. What's her face? Virginia Madsen?
Yes.
Who was terrific in that.
But I grew up right down the street from the projects, right across the street in Old Town, North Avenue. I knew those buildings so well. To me, it's the scariest movie. Well, no, The Exorcist is hands down the scariest movie ever. Don't do that.
Well, you have to be looking into a mirror. I'm not looking. I only said it twice. I say it three times, and I'm not looking into a mirror.
And it was Kirk Douglas that was in the Fury Brian De Palma movie. Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess it didn't do real well at the box office, which surprises me. But anyway, that's the rest of the story.
Was that also the one that they... Oh, boy. I wonder if I'm confusing my movies. That there is a chase scene that happens on Laura Wacker, because I think it was The Fury, because I remember, again, working at the One Speak 89, used to park on Lower Wacker, right...
Oh, yeah.
Almost underneath where the London House used to be, at the 360 North Michigan building. And I came out, and I was trying to get to my car, and I couldn't get to my car because they had part of that blocked off because they were filming this chase scene. So I just waited while there were cars being chased up and down Lower Wacker, and eventually they took a break in their filming, and they said, okay, you can get your car. All right.
Julian, that's one of the things I miss about not being at the Tribune Tower, because they used to do movies like Batman down on Lower Wacker, and we could just run downstairs and watch them doing the movie, or right on Michigan Avenue where they were doing The Fugitive with Kevin Costner.
And we sent Johnny out
at 3 o'clock in the morning with a phone so that I could call from the Michigan Avenue bridge
filming. I'm in the studio. Johnny's out on Michigan Avenue.
And I'm giving a scene setter. You know, this is really great. I'm right out here in the midst of everything.
And all of a sudden, in the background, I hear the director on his microphone. Lady, get off the bridge. You're shaking the bridge.
I was mortified. He was in this arm that was sticking out over the Chicago River. And he was like in a cherry picker that was connected to the bridge and sitting out over the water so he could film as they came across the bridge. But I was shaking the bridge. I was like, really? On a megaphone over the air? You tell everybody, I'm shaking the bridge?
Yep.
I came in. I remember I just said, I'm out of here. I hung up the phone. I ran back into the studio. I think I stomped really hard to make him bounce a lot before I came back in.
Oh, speaking of being out of here, the lights are flickering.
And it's about that time.
I hear the Zamboni.
Good.
Bob is riding the Zamboni again.
Getting the studio redder.
See, we're running out of the good words. At this point, we only have the not all the letters are there versions of the words
left to use. It's so sad to think that during a commercial break, we both said, let's eat some crackers when we get in the car.
Yeah, we did.
We're so hungry. We don't have any pierogi, so we have to eat a cracker when we get to the car.
I want to get gluten-free pierogi. That sounded so good.
Yeah, I think I can. I think I can make them. I'll make the sauerkraut and prune pierogies first, because I know you'll love those.
And I'm sure you'll enjoy those, because I won't go near them.
I'm sure you can find something and find me gluten-free.
This is true.
Okay, yeah, but we could.
But I think I could make them. I think that would be a fun thing to make with an eight-year-old. We made biscuits the other night, which turned out really nice.
They were very good.
Yes.
I'm so hungry right now.
I know.
Okay. 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. If you want to be our last caller, and the last caller wins some goodies from the prize list, as long as you have not won anything from this here radio station within the past 60 days.
Now, remember, do not feel pressure. You don't have to have anything. I can't even think of words.
try pithy.
What?
Try pithy.
Pithy. You don't have to have anything pithy. That is pithy with a T, right?
Yes, it is pithy.
Not pithy, pithy with an S.
A T. Yes.
You don't have to have anything.
Yeah, we're running out of old words and...
Help us, that please.
312-981-7200. Please, somebody call. Be our last caller.
Be the cherry on top of our five-hour show.
Yeah, right.
Be the icing on the cake.
Uh-huh. Someone left this cake out in the rain.
Oh, please, don't get that song stuck in my head. Please.
Because it took so long to bake it.
No. So 312-981-7200. We will choose a last caller, and you will, if you haven't won in the last 60 days, win some cool stuff from us. That's how it works. Again, you can just, you know, stop by and say hi.
Yep.
That's all it takes.
Yep.
To get us out of here.
Okay.
All right. Time now for a break, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Break.
Yeah. On WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
Yeah.
All right, people. Time to go home.
Yep.
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 Losing time.
Losing time.
Head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Boop, 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 boop. And no, we will not play all of that song. It is the closing song by Red Peters. You can look it up. You can find it on YouTube, and you can play all of it to your heart's content.
And again, we have to get Red Peters on the show. It's been over a year that we played that, and I know that guy says, why? Why am I getting these views? Because there's a cute little video that goes with it, too.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and he's got a darn good voice.
Yeah. Anything
okay,
else?
That's it. I was just looking at our Zamboni driver, keeper of the big plug, Bob Fukuda, sent some information on gluten-free pierogies, including a recipe. I think I'm going to tackle them this week in honor of Pierogi Fest.
All right.
And if you weren't listening, you missed Mr. Pierogi on the show. And it's when I learned that you don't say pierogies. It's always singular.
It's pierogium.
Even if you have a whole bunch of them. Okay. Speaking of a whole bunch, we got a whole bunch of callers on the line. And I'm going to choose a random number. And then you will have that person sign in. And I'm going to say five.
Okay. Number five would be Terry. Hi, Terry. Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hey, Terry.
Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
I'm on 294 heading down to O'Hare for work.
Oh, it sounded like you were in the basement, but you're actually on your speakerphone, right?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
Gotta be hands-free.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
And what kind of work do you do at O'Hare?
I work for the TSA.
Do you now? Can I just say thank you for allowing us to go through the security with our frozen bottles of water. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I've done that 3 times this year, and I've never had anyone say to me, no, you can't come through with your water. I freeze it solid, and people look at me like, whoa, 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 how did you get through with that? And I say, you can. Legally, you can, right?
That's right. As long as it's frozen, you can have as many as you want.
And kudos for the way you handle it at O'Hare. And the reason I'm saying this, because we couldn't believe the huge lines in Panama City Beach, Florida, at their TSA lines were literally stretching through the airport.
Terry, they're actually calling it a 3-hour wait to get through TSA in that airport.
And that's a small airport, but at O'Hare, go in and there you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we handle quite a few people in a short amount of time, that's for sure.
What time does your shift start?
I start at 3 a.m.
Oh, my gosh. So do you go 3 to 11?
3 to 11:30.
Well, that's not too bad, because by the time you get home, get a little nap, you still have some Sunday, right?
That's true. Not absolutely. That's the reason that supposedly this is the day shift.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, you probably know that for the many years that we did the all-night show, we always called it Tour 1 because we were told...
We thought Tour 1 was the midnight shift.
Yeah.
Yep. No, this is the first shift of the day.
Wow. And I remember do they still call them ramp rats? And I say that with respect because that's what we were told they were called when these guys would call in and say, I'm a ramp rat out at O'Hare. Is that what they call them?
They'll do.
Oh, that's good. Well, do you work 6 days a week, 5 days a week? Is this the start of your week?
Yes, yeah, my days off for Friday, Saturday, so this is my Monday.
Oh, wow.
I enjoyed listening to both of you on the way in. Wish you were on more often. It's quite an enjoyable listen on the way in.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
We do appreciate you tuning in to us. So when you get off work on do you go home and sleep when you get home because of these crazy hours?
Well, it depends on what's going on with the family. If there's something we're doing, no. But during the week, I try to get a 45-minute nap in.
Oh, boy, I remember those days. 45 minutes here, an hour there. If you got lucky, you could get a little REM sleep, but that rarely happens, right?
No. Yeah, if I sleep too much, I'll wake up cranky, and a cranky dad does not go over well with the family.
How about it? I hear you.
I have to ask you the key question, Cubs or Sox?
Cubs.
Okay.
So are you a Northsider?
Yeah, originally grew up in North and Central, Southwest Sider, back when things were different, and now I live out in Grays Lake.
Oh, wow, okay. That's a long drive for you. Heck.
In the middle of the night, it's only about a 30-minute ride, so it's really not that bad.
Wow. Well, I'm glad we could keep you company on that drive from Grays Lake. Yes. It's nice to know you're out there. Well, we are going to send you your very own official WGN Radio T-shirt.
These are really cool T-shirts,
yep.
Terry.
And, Terry, you're going to get a desktop weather station from American Weather Makers Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. These things are actually collectible now, so you're going to get one of these from AmericanWeatherMakers.com.
And, so hold on, and we'll get some information from you off the air. And thanks for hanging out with
us.
Really
listening.
Appreciate it. I mentioned Cubs and Sox. Boy, it is becoming, and I'm a Sox fan, but now we're down 13 in a row.
Yeah.
What a year to be a Sox fan.
A listener just texted us and said, do you think that Len Casper is sorry that he came over to the Sox? I think he's happy to be working with DJ, and I think they're wonderful together.
Len and DJ are a terrific duo.
In fact,
we should mention, when is it? Is it in a few weeks? We're going to be carrying the Sox game because there's a conflict with...
Oh, that's right.
With the Sox and the Bears because...
we're already talking about football.
Because ESPN 1000 carries the Bears and
the
that
Sox.
Night the Sox will be over here. And I love it because I think Len and DJ are terrific. Love to talk to them sometime.
I would too. They're funny. They're really funny together.
But from what I've read, Len is not at all sorry. He wants to be on radio. He wants to, and I hope he gets to call a World Series game sometime. But I will still never forget the Field of Dreams call.
Oh, with Tim Anderson at the last play.
That was, I mean, that's when the Sox were really, really special.
And
I don't know what has happened this year. I think
management.
Yeah, I think you're probably, they just seem like they're demoralized, but they've got some really good players that have a lot of potential. I hope they don't trade everybody away.
I'm very impressed with a catcher. Forgive me, I forgot his name. And this guy named Phan, P-H-A-N.
Yeah.
Both of them have been, Corey is the catcher. Corey Lee, I think.
It's been hard to memorize names this season.
I know. And I was so proud because during, you know, the pandemic, we watched 155 games and I knew everybody because I drank the Kool-Aid. I come over to the dark side.
Okay, the clock is running out on us. Theoretically, we're back again next week.
Yes.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Patrick Crisman will talk computers next week, and Jessica Radloff will be joining us.
Yeah, talking TV for the month of August.
Yeah. So thanks a bunch for hanging out with us. Talk to you next week.